United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
Let's go! That particular name, no opinion piece whatsoever. I don't understand. Local caller, you're in the air. Local caller.
Hello?
Hello?
I'm not local.
Wait a minute. You sure are.
No, I'm not. My air code is 614. I called you on the local line because I can't hear anything on the chat line.
It's working now, dear.
Okay, so I'll call you on that line.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Well, that's good. Oh, here we go. Anyway.
We need a new phone. That one's got sticky buttons.
Yeah, it does. Even though they tried to fix it up here. But anyway, you know, here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, what they are doing, notice, if you really notice, now 76,000 people across the United States lost their doggone health care.
Mm-hmm.
They lost it.
Well, what happened to, if you like your plan, you can keep it. And if you like your doctor, you can keep him.
If you like your plan,
obviously my high deductible catastrophic care plan that I really liked and was really cost effective for my family, I can't keep it.
Can't keep it anymore. Can't keep it anymore.
Because the masterminds know better than me what health care I need.
Because you might have an unfair advantage over somebody else. Just like Dick Cheney getting that heart transplant, and we hated him anyway. And you know that's what they were saying. There's so much going on here today. I mean, there's so much I'm going to mention because I got to get to what's the man that almost single-handedly destroyed us with
George Soros.
No, that's George Soros is still out there. But
yeah, he's on Hillary Clinton's presidential finance committee. For her presidential run.
So you know you're going to get more of the same.
George Soros.
George Soros.
Spooky dude.
Now, that should tell anybody something. But the thing is the people that support this president are going to look at it like he's good.
Well, have you considered this? I keep hearing about the Koch brothers. Mm-hmm. The Koch brothers employ thousands of people.
Thousands of people.
All right? But they're evil. But George Soros, who does nothing but destroys companies, destroys currencies, and destroys lives, he's a good guy.
He's good. He's good.
So, you know, I mean, that's kind of a scriptural.
Soros good, Koch brothers bad.
That's kind of a scriptural thing, isn't it? What's good is it will be evil, and what's evil will be good?
In the end days, they shall call evil good and good evil. I actually had a pastor friend of mine put that on my Facebook page. You guys are, because we challenged the legitimacy of the education of the president and his position, like you just did a minute ago, as a law professor and head of the president of the law review, but never writing an opinion. How do you do that? How do you get away with doing that from Harvard?
Maybe he just got a participation trophy. I mean, you know, he's of that mindset.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the participation trophy.
Yeah.
Trophy people.
As long as
you show up, we give you a trophy.
We give you a trophy. You know, they started a new football, countrywide football organization that said these kids are going to win. They're going to play against each other, and they're going to play to win, and only the winners are going to get trophies.
Well, what about that? What about that high school team? Where was that? They beat that other team 90-0.
Mm-hmm.
And they
charged him with bullying.
Charged him with bullying, and the winning coach said, "Listen, I put my fourth string team in. What do you want me to do?" You know, when they got pretty far ahead, he started pulling all of his starters out and let the water boy play.
Yeah.
And he still whooped
them. Beat them some more. And yeah, but that's the thing. That's what they're raising. They're raising a country of wimps that will just wimp out on you. Nobody is a fighter. Nobody is a survivor, a scrapper. I don't want a country like that. That's not my country.
Well, yeah, we're feminizing America. We're feminizing all of our males. We're making anything that makes you masculine a crime. What about that? Did you hear about the 13-year-old kid just got shot out in California?
No, go ahead.
Yeah, he had an airsoft rifle and an airsoft pistol, and they shot him. Two sheriff's deputies shot him. Now, you don't think they could see the little red tip on the end of the gun?
Did they kill him?
Killed him.
Wow. Wow. I think that what they're doing is I think they're creating this atmosphere on purpose, and I think that what they intend to do is to create one of those societies where the people have to live inside of a compound.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that the reason why they made the FEMA camps is because they're going to herd people into them, the citizens of the United States. That's the only way to stop the citizens of the United States.
Well, look at the insanity of these people. Look at the insanity of the climate change nuts.
Mm-hmm.
They just said they want to have all electric cars in the United States because they don't pollute. Although those NiCad batteries they use just destroy the planet. I mean, to create a nickel-cadmium battery is just unbelievably caustic. So, but we're going to have these plug-in cars, but we can't build any coal-fired power plants because coal's too dirty, and we can't put up any gas turbine power plants. Well, you can build them, but you can't frack, so you can get the natural gas out of the ground to run them with.
Right.
It's just these people are out of their ever-loving minds. I mean, they just are out of their minds. They don't understand physics. You do the math on it. There's not enough land mass in the United States to power this country with wind turbines.
Yeah.
To replace that one down in Toronto, I did the math.
Uh-huh.
And to replace that one down in Toronto, they would have to cover half of the land mass of Mahoning County with wind turbines.
Yes.
It's
asinine. It's stupid.
And
sorry,
the land,
that's my favorite word.
The land that we're putting these things on is all crop ground.
Yes.
So, and I did the math on that, too. The crops that would be grown on that ground chews up more CO2 than what electricity that a coal-fired power plant would create. These wind turbine things are just lose-lose for everybody, except for the people who's getting a kickback from the government. They're a win for those people.
There you go. It's a win-win.
Boardman Frame House Gallery. Whoa. A professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingly Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingly offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingly, it's not clean. Kingly Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique.
individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Rusty Humphries.
More people coming out attacking the Tea Party, right?
I'm starting to say, you know what? Democrats, bring it on. I want more attacks to the Tea Party. I want to see more hate coming from the left. Why?
I want the Democrats to continue to show their true colors.
News Talk 600.
If you're a veteran of Iraq or Afghanistan, like me, coming home can be harder than expected. But it turns out I wasn't alone.
At IAVA.org, there's a free online community of thousands of vets who've got your back. Whether it's managing the transition home or everyday stuff
like finding a nice sweater for my dog.
Sweater?
Okay, maybe not that. Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America is there for you. Join our community at IAVA.org.
We've got your back.
Brought to you by IAVA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the new home for the Sean Hannity Radio Show, News Talk 600 WSOM.
We're back with Tracy and friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
And we're back afternoon with Tracy and Friends, Jeff and Sticks here, hanging out, talking to you about what's on your mind. Want to hear from you. We want to hear what you're saying. I would love to hear what you're saying about what's going on with the Obamacare or the whatever Affordable Care Network. And we're going to go out here to 626. You are in the air.
Yeah, it's Covina, man.
What's up, Covina?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think it's the Obamacare. I don't think that we have any problems with that out here in California. I think that it's kind of relates to one of the topics you guys had earlier in the week about, you know, the role of government, whether people trust the government or not. And I think there's certain states, because we live in, you know, 50 different states, certain states have a kind of a different role with the community and the government as opposed to other states. And like in California, health care was a problem at one time. We had deregulation. We had insurance commission problems. The voters went to the initiative, passed a law to regulate insurance industries and so on and so forth. As decades passed, it probably was like 20 years or so, after a while, now we don't have those problems. We don't have our insurance, when you get a job, most people are offered, choices of insurance carriers, and a number of them are nonprofit insurance companies. So we don't have those, like, spikes in and premiums and all that stuff, because it's been regulated and so on and so forth. And I think a good contrast, like regulation, would be like the healthcare here in California and like Texas. If you recall, I believe it was the same day or maybe the same week as Sandy Hook was in, the Sandy Hook shooting happened, but there was a factory that blew up in Texas, right, and killed a lot of people and destroyed
right.
the neighborhood.
Fertilizer
and
factory,
it was like,
yes.
Yeah, there was like nothing. It was like nobody could get sued because they have like, they just have free reign. There's no regulation, nothing, so you can blow people up and kill people and the government gives a rat's ass. That could never happen in California because you have all those
yeah, no, that's
laws
why, that's,
and all that
that's
stuff.
Why people, that's why people are leaving California as well, and your wealth is going to live in other states where they can't tax the living daylights out of them anymore.
Yeah, from what I understand, California is going bankrupt at a rapid rate.
A huge rate. And,
it was. No, it was.
It is.
Was,
it still is.
It, fixed it.
It still is.
But well, that part they fixed. Mm. You're not going to hear it. I think once unlike other California's primary, like everything in California is Democrat. The governor, the House, the Assembly. So once that happened, you never heard those problems again. They just fixed it. It was only when they came in with those
no, they
know,
didn't.
Republicans and other stuff. I live out here in California. I do not like California. I don't like the taxes, you're right. I don't like that. They tax and they fixed it. We don't have gun law, gun freedoms. We don't have that stuff. But the other problems, we don't have those problems. We didn't have, like, regulators do they work here in California.
So now, what did this
say? Now, Covina, man, I'm looking at an article here from the Business Journal that says California currently owes $132 billion, and they're not making their payments as they're supposed to. Sacramento Business Journal.
What do you finish your thought?
I just did.
Like
Sacramento
like
Business Journal article says that California is $132 billion in debt, and they're not making their payments as projected.
Payments on what?
On their debt.
On the $132 billion
that
they owe.
That they borrowed to.
I don't know about that. I never. That might be something that you're writing in a Business Journal. I haven't seen it.
Well, you're not going to see it because Jerry Brown's not going to tell you that, because Jerry Brown is just a bigger idiot as the rest of the people in the legislature. That's why you have the taxes that you have out there, and that's why you take care of all the craziness. But you know what they cut? They cut the money going to the prisons. So what's that going to do for you out there pretty soon when they start letting some of them people out of those prisons? Which they should have come up with something to let nonviolence out anyway. But
yeah,
you
all
know,
of those people are in prison for bogus stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then they let some serious criminals get out. You know, California has its problems, but healthcare and that is not one of them. Like I was saying before, like thanks to the Affordable Care Act, I had went, you know, my insurance company called me, right? They called me and said, you're due for an annual physical. I was like, okay, I'm going to get my annual physical, get my heart medication, you know, whatever. So I go in, I get ready to pull out my deductible, and it's like, oh, no, you don't have to pay a deductible. This is included in such and such now for the Affordable Care Act. I was like, oh, okay. So it saved me my deductibles. I see my doctor once a year, got my prescription renewed, and I was good to go.
Okay, so who paid for that visit?
I still pay. My employer pays most of my medical coverage,
okay.
And I pay a deductible employer contribution per paycheck.
Did the premium increase?
Not this year, it didn't.
Okay.
Ours is a nonprofit.
Well, most health insurers are nonprofits. All your Blue Crosses and Blue Shields, Just because you're a nonprofit doesn't mean you're not allowed to make money. Don't let that fool you. But nonprofits are allowed to make money.
We're regulated.
As health insurance is all over the country, every state has an insurance board.
There must be something wrong with
it. That's one of the problems with
this
law, Covina man. That's one of the problems with this law. It made minimum coverages unaffordable because of all the things they required that went into a minimum coverage policy. For example, my wife's had a hysterectomy, yet we have to carry pregnancy insurance or maternity insurance because the law says we have to carry maternity insurance. The law says you have to have drug and alcohol coverage, whether you want it or not. Well, that works really good for a Mormon family. You know, that's the problem with this law is they've over-regulated.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the whole thing. The law, not only is it over-regulated, you know, you see those 76,000 people that are put out of their health care system. Well, why do you think they got put out? Probably because they had a very good plan, and up under this Affordable Care Act, those have to go. Why? Because they think it's not fair to everybody else that you got a expensive plan, so they're going to tax you at a very high rate for having a good health care plan. Now, what kind of sense does that make? What kind of for the people is this? This is foolishness to the nth degree. This is completely stupid. But the thing is, oh no, we're going to find a way. Well, there's another way. You create a system just for those people.
Right.
For those 62 million, and then all 62 million have a chance of getting covered. Because this way, you're only going to get 23 million. They say they're going to get 30, but they're not. You're only going to get the so many. The prices are going to remain very high, and because you don't have enough people joining the doggone thing to make the prices go down.
Well,
and that's not going to happen anyway.
Dr. Carson was right. I mean, he hit the nail on the head. We need to go to a federal or a system of health savings accounts and catastrophic care insurance, because the way that system works, if you start putting money in a health savings account when you're 18 and you don't get sick till you're 40 and you got a catastrophic care policy, when you finally have that heart attack or get that cancer, there's enough money to cover the deductible, and a catastrophic care policy takes care of the rest. Everybody keeps hollering about catastrophic care, and that's
most people aren't that dumb,
though.
Most people aren't that dumb to fall for something like that. People have insurance for a reason, right? People like the idea of
insurance.
They like the idea of Medicare. They like the idea of Social Security. They like that type of system. This is what the people like. We don't like top-down tax deduction for rich people, $1 million set aside for. That's not the type of country that you live in. You live in a country where people work for a living.
Who said anything about a tax deduction?
That's the way the system
That system has worked. It works exceptionally well for self-employed people, and it's worked well for a lot of years since its inception. I have a lot of self-employed friends that use that system, and they love it.
What's the percentage of people that are self-employed?
I don't know. This day and age is getting higher all the time.
Majority of people don't fit in that category.
The thing is, my wife, we have that system through my wife's employer.
Okay, there you go. Most people got
on a cost sharing
basis.
We have a health savings account, and we have high deductible insurance through my wife's employer. And every month we put money away. And should we have a catastrophic problem, we'll pull out of that to cover the deductible, and the insurance covers the rest.
Yeah,
and it's very inexpensive.
Most people like Medicare. They like that type of idea, where you just have everybody's covered, everybody paid their deductible.
Until you want to take half of their income in order to pay for it.
Well, that's what people want. That's why
That's
why we live in a.
I guarantee
people
you.
Don't like, they don't want money at Medicare.
I guarantee you, Covina man. I guarantee you, if you actually started taxing the people of the United States, what it costs to run this behemoth that they have created, instead of printing money and inflating it out of people's checks, you would have a revolt. If people had to actually sit down and write a check to the IRS once a month rather than have it automatically withdrawn from their check, you'd see people in the streets. You say people want this stuff, but they want it because they don't know what they're paying for. They have no idea what it costs.
This is what people have voted for. That's the reason why we live in a representative democracy. People vote for what they want, and the politicians hopefully carry it out.
I haven't seen anybody, except for a few Tea Party people,
that want to get rid of Medicare and stuff like that.
That's the most foolish and freaking lie from the pit that I have ever heard. That's a lie, and they keep telling you that. That is not what they have said.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, you do, because that's where you got that from. You didn't get that from any Tea Party people, and if you did, you'd tell you're a liar, because they didn't say it.
I can tell you my source, man.
Give me the source.
I probably listen to every conservative talk radio show on the radio. Everything from Michael Medved. I listen to Hugh Hewitt. I listen to Laura Ingraham. I listen to everybody because I listen to the bubble to see what the heck they're talking about. And this is what they talk about. When they talk to Paul Ryan and they interview these people, and this is what they tell you. They listen to talk to the Ron Pauls and the Rand Pauls. This is what they talk about. They talk about that stuff. That's why I'm informed, because I know what they're talking about.
They told you that they have to fix the programs, because that is not true. I listen to those people because I happen to agree with many of the things those people support. You don't have the money to support that system. It's not there.
You understand, for every person on Medicare, there's 10 people paying into Medicare. You understand that's
how
that system
works,
right?
I understand how that system works, right? I understand how it works, yes.
Okay. So what happens when you got one person paying in for one person on Medicare? What's the cost due?
That's hypothetical, because that's not what's going
on.
No, it isn't.
You're
asking for a hypothetical.
Exactly.
Hypothetical.
No, you said you want Medicare for everybody, basically.
That's
That means you got one person paying in for one person taking out.
Hold on. Before you go down, don't go down a road we didn't go down. I said people like Medicare. That's what I said.
But the only way Medicare works is if you've got 10 paying for one taken out.
Okay, but whatever. Okay.
And so if you
fine, how it works,
the national
how it works,
healthcare
fine.
System, we have several callers in here. Oh, it's great.
We gotta go. We'll be
I'm
right back.
I'm Keegan with your headline news. Today, a jury in the Lewis Mann murder trial will hear testimony from a minister who has spent time with a Warren man. This is part of the mitigation phase of the trial. Lewis Mann faces the death penalty for the 2011 murder of his parents. Prosecutors say he strangled his mother with a clothesline and beat his father to death. The defense is arguing Mann was sexually abused as a boy. The jury has already heard testimony from psychologists. The Mahoning County Grand Jury has indicted a Youngstown man for stabbing a woman to death. The indictment includes a specification for the death penalty for 51-year-old David Hackett. It also charges him with kidnapping and rape. And in Austin Town, because of weather delays, Norquest Boulevard between Mahoning Avenue and Evans Road will remain closed through Monday. Crews are working to replace the culvert on the street. It was initially supposed to open Friday. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
From the first shots fired at the Battle of Concord in 1775, this great country was founded on personal freedom and the private ownership of firearms. In keeping with that tradition, National Armory is working hard to support your Second Amendment rights. Visit National Armory, now at the old Buckeye Firearms location, in Streetsboro, Austintown, and Rogers.
Sophie landed in the hospital after falling at home. Sophie was sobbing when her doctor ordered rehab after surgery to repair her fractured hip. Spending 6 weeks in a rehabilitation facility for therapy meant leaving home, but more importantly, leaving Princess, her furry, purring companion of 12 years. At Crandall Medical Center, we understand the bond between you and your pet. Crandall Medical Center is pet-friendly, allowing your pet to join you during your rehabilitation stay. The goal of our therapy and nursing staff is to get you both back home comfortably, safely, and quickly. At Crandall Medical Center, the nursing staff and therapists kept Sophie smiling as she was getting back on her feet and Princess purring. Crandall Medical Center on the campus of Copeland Oaks in nearby Sebring. To find out about our pet-friendly policy, visit us on the web at crandallmedicalcenter.com or call 330-938-6126. That's 330-938-6126.
Tax Steer & Company is Salem's home team business and tax advisors. We've been coaching our clients through the complexities of the tax codes and crafting business strategies for success with years of experience to prove it. Tax Steer & Company's team of advisors can share their experience with you to maximize your financial success. Don't wait until the fourth quarter to work on your game plan. Call Hack Steer & Company early in the game and develop an offensive strategy to put your team in the lead and a defensive strategy to keep you there. When you're ready to improve your game, give Roger Hack, Steve Steer, or Wendy Saltzman a call.
Why wait an hour for prescriptions? Fred's Family Pharmacy will get it to you fast. We match the $4 generic prices listed at the big box pharmacies. Locally owned and operated, Fred's Family Pharmacy offers free local delivery and free blood pressure tracking. Open daily from 9 to 6, Saturday till 1, closed Sunday. Stop in and pick up your free medical record wallet card. 1136 East State Street in Salem, across from Circle K. 330-332-9919. Fred's Family Pharmacy.
1-800-530-WSOM or 347-945-5229. Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
And we are back again, afternoon with Tracy and friends here on WSOM 600 AM. Jeff and Styx hanging out here today, talking to you about what's on your mind. And giving you what's on, a little bit of what's on our mind. And we had Covina Man talking here a minute ago, and he's talking about the systems going on out there in California. And, you know, he's happy with some of what California has been doing. And I'm up there saying, if that was happening here, I'd be trying to pack my bags and get up out of here, because I'm not going to pay 35-40% of every dollar I make to, you know, to take care of the whole freaking state.
Florida's got the same weather as California.
Yep.
And no income tax.
No income tax. And how do they do it? And they're not, and they're not, they're very solvent.
Oh, look at Texas. I mean,
Texas
is,
well.
Is amazing.
Texas as well.
No income tax. Wyoming, no income
tax. To be fair about Texas, you got a ton of military bases there, though, that pour a lot of money into that economy. But, you know, because they get inundated. If they didn't have that, the people coming across the Rio Grande, they would completely just annihilate the system. South Carolina, you are in the air. Wait a minute. I got this. I got a familiar number. 720, you are in the air.
How you doing?
Who is that, man?
Hello?
Is this a new caller?
Who that?
Yes, new caller.
This is a new caller.
Okay, new caller, where are you calling us from?
76. Heading towards Congress.
All right.
Oh, this is 76.
Must be a truck driver.
Yeah,
truck driver up on 76. How you doing, trucker?
I'm doing good. How you guys doing today?
We working it out.
And
we're working it out.
Thank you guys. And Jeff, I want to thank you guys for pitching me while I go and run some other parts of the state. But when I was in California, just different. You got to realize not only are they paying a high income tax in California, but their sales tax in Los Angeles was 9.5%.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
You tithe them when you buy something.
Absolutely. I told you guys I got 30 cents back off a $2.99 bottle of water because I didn't count the recycling fees.
Oh, wow.
That.
Recycle. Yeah, that's right, because California has gone green.
Well, by the time Cap and Trade is done, we will be paying for sunshine.
But we don't have any sun here in Ohio. I got a problem.
We got 5 inches of snow on our ground up north.
Where?
Just north of us up off the lake. We got 5 inches of snow yesterday. A friend of mine sent me Facebook pictures of it. It didn't look very pretty.
Yeah, I know that's right.
It just looked very cold.
I'm looking at some things here. Yeah, but you know, but California is just on that, and Covina, man, you're still there. 482, you're live as well,
yeah,
and South
Hi,
Carolina,
guys.
You.
Hi,
oh,
Tracy.
Yeah.
Hey,
be
Bonnie.
Safe out there. It's Friday.
Yes, ma'am. I need to offer everybody an apology that was listening yesterday to the last 45 minutes of the show. I don't think everyone understood. I even called some of them when I got off the air last night. When I talked about the mechanic, and you can be a backyard mechanic and you can hustle to make a living. But in today's society, that what you did in 1972, 1982, and that 1992, to create a business is not available to you in 2013 and 2014. The regulations and the certifications for the automobiles that are being made right now are not allowing you to be a backyard mechanic. You almost can't even change the oil in the new cars that are being made and produced. That causes for a problem if you cannot have a substantial business. And we need to acknowledge that.
Well, I agree with you and I disagree with you at the same time, Tracy, because there's another dynamic to that, that I, as a tradesman, and speaking for tradesmen, and I don't know anything you were talking about cutting hair and all the rest of that stuff, and I don't know nothing about that. But most of the tradesmen that decide they're going to go out on their own have 10 or 15 years experience, and they've already decided years ago they were going to go on their own at some point, and that business is already built to some point when they quit their current employer. Unless there's a catastrophe, most guys, most tradesmen that go out on their own, block layers, electricians, mechanics, they've already started this, and it's come to a point where it's either stay being an employee or go out on my own because I don't have enough hours in the day to do both.
But the difference between a bricklayer and a tradesman and a plumber, see, plumbing always plumbs the same way. Bricklaying, masonry is always the same. Welding is always the same. Even in electrical engineering, it tweaks. But when you get into the technology field where your automobiles and that kind of thing is going, it's a whole other world now.
Right, but all of that training, all that training is available to anybody. All that training and all that testing is available to anybody, Mike. My local guy right there in Damascus got that little two-bay garage. He is ASE certified. He takes all the tests, just like the guy at the big Chevrolet garage.
How much does it cost him to stay certified and approved every year?
I've never asked him. I don't know.
You need to ask him that question. And what I'm saying is, well, the reason why we go to employers is because they pay for my certifications because they use that certification for their own benefit. Whereas, if I go on my own, that's an additional expense. And so what I'm saying, in 2014, getting the credit line, getting the BAIN, getting the certification, staying on top of it, and being a one-man band is extremely difficult, and more so in the future than it's going to be in the past. And what we're going to, and we need to acknowledge that, so that people can learn how to cooperatively work together with other people so that they don't have to depend on the system, but they can depend on one another to lift one another during this time. Because even the regulations of going into business and your sales tax and your workers' compensation and your insurances, and they keep on compounding the regulations, the certifications, and the cost of it because they're squeezing the small man out. They do not want you to be in the marketplace as a competitor on your own.
Well, yes. I mean, we agree on that. There's a large contingency of very powerful people in this country that do not want the average American to be financially independent. Absolutely not. And they've changed. Well, and another thing they've done, they've even changed it so it's more advantageous to be in debt than to create an S corporation and sell stock and pay dividends.
That's what I'm saying. The system is making it to where your children are going to have very, very difficult times where we did not, right. If we wanted to go start a business, we went and did it. They don't even want your children to work in the farm business, let alone in the mechanic business.
Right. There's, Microsoft. Gates. Bill Gates has said he could not start Microsoft in today's regulatory environment.
Right.
That's what I'm talking about. And so when I talk about, you can change tires in your backyard. But you've got to have a contract to dispose of those tires with someone because you've got to pay for that.
So why do we keep electing people that want more regulation, which stifles our ability to take care of ourselves?
Because we don't understand it. We don't understand that Obamacare is going to stifle small business out of business. We don't understand it. We think that we're going to get something out of it, but all that we're going to do is walk ourselves into a gas chamber or into a slave mentality, more so than we are today. Yesterday we were talking about this, and that was my point. They are regulating ourselves. So, you can't go out and cut your grass and your neighbor's grass without having a permit to cut the grass. And that's a long stretch, but it's very fundamentally true.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing with the minimum wage that people don't understand. You know, you keep leveling this stuff on the people that are trying to have small businesses, and pretty soon you've driven their costs of their product up so high nobody will buy it from them.
I don't know if you guys have heard about the immigration programs that we have here in the state of Ohio, and across the country. And the immigration program is where you have people who are legally able to come in here for seasonal work. And they are pushing to make these people get paid something like double the minimum wage. And they're putting it on your landscapers and your agricultural items because they come in here and they do the farming for us that we don't want to do. And
Somebody just invented a lettuce picking machine.
Yeah, but see, lettuce picking does not groom grass. You can't groom. You can cut the grass, but you got to manicure a lawn. And so when you look at there are some items that it's going to be hard to pick.
Not only that, Tracy, this amnesty bill that Rubio and these guys are talking about, they keep saying, well, you know, we're not going to give these people health care, but it gives the employer an incentive to hire a former illegal because now he doesn't have to pay for health care on that person, but if he hires you, a citizen of the United States, he's got to pay that health care.
It's all screwed up. And that's when you brought up the immigrants that come over here to work. We have to understand they are doing whatever they can to make sure that Americans are no longer self-sufficient and no longer are not dependent upon some part of the system from the birth to the grave. They want Julia to be alive.
Well, at what point? From the time I was big enough to walk, my dad told me, go out and get a job. Go to work. I mean, I was either working on the farm or I was working for somebody else, and that's the way the majority of the people that I grew up around was. When did we go from you're 11, 12 years old, go get a paper route to my baby can't go to work?
When we start talking about government is good and we should and government is our friend.
Let me add in here. I think a lot of the anti-government, anti-tax situation, or you know, the conversation usually comes from, but not predominantly, but usually comes from red state America. You know, the South, those borderline states, all of them
except for maybe Texas. I'm not sure about Texas, but all of them get more taxes from the government than they pay in. So those stats are like, I mean, those states live off the government income more than, say, yeah, those states. Pick a state
now,
like,
wait a minute, Kavina,
Louisiana.
I know the stat you're talking about.
Let me finish the point.
The fact that those states have a larger percentage of military installations, and they're counting those dollars that those military installations bring in as revenue from the federal government. So you're comparing apples and oranges with your stats.
But you're not. But let me finish my point. You have states, you know, such as California. Let's say that the states is traditional, like, high-tax states like California and New York. They dump so much money per capita into the government. Then you have other states, like these southern states, for example, that they suck so much money from the government. And then those same people who suck in money from the government are saying, well, let's cut the state. Well, how about if they just cut all of the – go ahead. How about the people in Alabama – and Mississippi,
okay,
all
we can,
federal money out from your state.
We're going to break, Doc. We got to go. We got to go. We'll be right back after these messages.
Of all mankind.
Hey, Carolina, ma'am?
Yes, ma'am.
I think, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but California, it's not the thing. California and Los Angeles don't put so much. No, California and New York don't put that much. They don't put so much money in there where they're taking it from other states. That's not true.
That's not according to the statistics.
So the statistics, you know, if you have a base there, that doesn't count for just not just distribution of government funds. And I think that's what Stick was trying to say. But what I'm saying is, I live in Ohio. We're a blue state. We're a purple state. So you never know how we're going to swing. And what I'm saying is, we are the American people. The average American person is working something like nine months to make a profit. And even when you make a profit, you don't bring anything home. And that's really not fair because they're making it so dependent. And that's what's wrong with African Americans today. We're so dependent on somebody giving us something, and they have enabled us so much. We are weak and will not stand on our own two feet. So we are not self-sufficient. So a slave to the government, whether we like it or not.
Okay, Tracy, I asked this question before, and I wish one of you conservatives would try to answer. If you think that black folks are living off the government, you have black folks, all the black men that you have in college, what exactly are we living off the government? Like, what are we getting? We're not getting any welfare programs. There's no set aside for black men. Explain to me, what exactly am I getting?
But, you know, listen. You're not getting, you may not be getting the majority of the population, and let me say this, that the majority of the population and your children are getting it. Because you have to understand, and this is what we don't realize, there is a huge percentage of children being raised by the government who are your children, your seed, because of whatever that you do not take care of that child. You can't have 72% of African-American children being raised in single-family homes and not thinking that a good portion of those children are not getting some type of government assistance.
Most of those welfare programs that you speak of have a 24-month limit. So I don't know, once those 24 months are made a thing for maybe WIC?
Not for children. Not for children. What I'm saying is, you know, you may not be getting assistance, and the baby's mama may not be getting a cash assistance, but what happens is, age-dependent children. The children are still getting assistance. The children are still being taken care of. And I'm not knocking the children.
I don't know what program you're talking about. I don't know what program you're talking about.
Listen to me, Covina, man. Every state is different. So in Ohio, our children get taken care of no matter what. And what I'm saying is, I don't have a problem with us taking care of the children. When we have children, we need to make sure that we raise the children that we have, and we take care of them, and we have the money and the means, not depending upon the government, to feed them, to clothe them, and to keep them in good health. And that's not what we're doing. And because we're not doing that, right now, where I live, we spend $17,000 per per year, per pupil, are just trying to get them an education, and they're still working across the street and can't read by the third grade.
Yeah, that's, I understand. Yeah, I heard your conversation before. I looked up your statistics in Ohio. It occurs to me, and from the statistics and from what you guys said, that you guys have a particular problem over there in Ohio that doesn't affect the rest of us. Is it whatever, for whatever reason, it's local to you guys.
What problem are you talking about?
Your education statistics, because you talked about that before, and I looked it up.
Every urban setting across the country. I promise you. If you go to New York City, if you go to Detroit, Michigan, if you go to Los Angeles, if you go to Houston, Texas, they all have the same systemic problem when it comes to education of low-income and minority students in high concentration.
I think that there was a particular problem over there in your case, because I had made the point that if you have an educational system, and if it works for 60, 70% of the people, then it's working. The 30% it is not working for, it's a particular problem to that 30% of the population, not the school system. I looked it up in Ohio. Ohio was the majority of people were failing.
The majority of people inside of urban settings. We have 8 urban settings in the state of Ohio. And each urban setting are in the lower 10 of account when it comes to educational attainment. And they all have the same things that are systemic to them. They're low income, they're African American, and they have a high concentration of poverty.
Yeah, exactly.
And single-family homes.
We don't disagree with that. And I think that the only problem we probably would disagree is the origins of that.
And so when you ask me who's taking care of these children, the problem is your son may not be getting assistance, but your son, who I'm raising, who I don't let him see his daddy, and I don't get any kind of assistance from, I'm raising him as a government. And that's where the problem lies. The government should not be raising our children.
By not doing that,
it creates the cycle. See, when you buy into the system and you buy into the lie, you live the lie. And you believe
I think right there you made a vast jump and a conclusion that no one has claimed. No one has claimed that we believe in a system where the government is going to run kids. You will never hear nobody say that. You just said that out of nowhere that nobody else has claimed and interjected that into the argument.
You don't have to claim it. You don't have to claim it because it's the truth.
That's your assumption.
When you are indoctrinating your children by commission or by omission, it's still the same result.
Okay, I'm following. I'm going to follow your logic.
It doesn't change the end result.
Okay, I'm going to follow your logic. I'm going to go away from reality. I'm going to follow your logic. Now, make your point. Make the point. Now, I'm listening.
The point is, When a man is no longer taking care of his children in his home, and he allows the government and a woman to raise that child, they become indoctrinated into the way of government dependence. So what they do is, instead of them utilizing the system for their own personal attainment to become free, they actually utilize the system to where it becomes the work for them. So now they go out and make another set of children who another set of government takes care of them. And you can see this from 1960 all the way to 2014, where we see the manifestation of it. We should never have turned our children over to Hitler. And I call Hitler the government. Because we have generational curses of children raising children without any common sense.
And see what they're talking about here on WSOM 600 AM on your radio dial on iHeart as well. And at Blog Talk Radio with Tracy and Friends. Hey, guys, what you doing in there?
We're talking about how people become indoctrinated to the dependence upon the government, and I call the government Hitler, because the government is nothing but a social program and a communist program when you make it your sole reliance.
Yeah.
So the people who depend on government income, like those red states that depend on the income from the federal government, they become subject to Hitler?
Red states like Vermont? Red states like Vermont?
I'm following his – I'm following the line. You're coming in here in the middle of a conversation.
Like you just made the jump.
Red states
you're
like –
you're coming
like,
in the middle of
a conversation. I've got it right in front of me.
Hold on, we're in the middle of a conversation.
I got in trouble yesterday because we talked on top of each other.
All right.
Let everybody get their thought out and then, you know, because I don't want to get yelled at no more.
All right.
Hold on, we were right in the middle of the logic. We were trying to follow the logic that they were making the point, and I was trying to follow it.
Covina.
And you came in with something else. Yes, sir.
Covina, you made yourself from individuals being hooked on a system to an entire state.
Right, I'm
you
trying to follow the logic.
That.
I'm asking where the logic.
But here's the thing. You're talking about individuals being brainwashed and indoctrinated. And then you jump to a whole entire state.
I'm trying to find where the logic starts and where it stops. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to find the boundary here.
Your thought process is flawed. Your thought process is flawed because
I'm looking at this.
And you're talking about red states.
Wait a minute.
Is Pennsylvania a red state?
No, it's not.
Because it gets 1.07% more tax dollars back than it pays in. Is Vermont a red state? 1.08% more than it pays in. Is Kansas a red state? Is Maryland a red state? 1.30% more times what it pays in. So what you're saying, your thought process is wrong.
I was asking the question. You went back to something previously. Okay, let's go back there.
No.
I said that predominantly of the red states, they receive the most money. It's part of the most money. You're talking about right on the edge, 1 point something or what? I'm talking about some $7, $8. $10
No, no state gets more than New Mexico is the highest. What I'm looking at here says New Mexico is the highest. They get 2.03% more dollars than they pay in. That's the highest.
Now let me say this. There is a difference between.
How about Alaska? What does Alaska say?
There is a difference between individuals, people, and institutions.
Okay, well, we're
talking about people because what I'm saying is. We are indoctrinating people to become what they call Julia, which means you are dependent on the government from the birth to the grave.
Womb to the tomb.
And you're not supposed to be dependent upon the government from birth to grave. You should not be, the government is supposed to be an infrastructure for you to sit upon, not, and for you to govern, not for you to depend on, and for it to rule you. And right now, we are choosing for the government to rule us, which makes us slaves to the government.
Okay, stop right there. Got that point. Stop right there. You're saying that we're being dependent on the government from cradle to grave. Somebody said womb to tomb in here. Okay, so I'm asking the question again. Miss Jeff. I'm asking Jeff since he has this logic too. If you're a black man, I'm a black man, and South Carolina's a black man, at what point did you depend on the government?
At what point did I depend on the government?
Yeah, because you're making the conclusion that we as black people are dependent on the government. I'm asking, you got three black men on the line.
Oh, yeah, that's how you vote.
We can have a
you vote.
We can have a,
listen, you vote.
Dependent.
Yeah, it's by default.
It's almost
Specifically,
forget the default.
Hold on, South, and hold on, Covina.
Specifically, yes, sir.
Yeah, hold on. Go.
During the break, I told him during the break, when you make a baby and you are a man, and you don't care for that baby, you may not personally get a check for that child, but you are depending on the government to raise that child. And any time the government feeds you from zero when they birth you until 18 when they kick you off the system, you have been indoctrinated by that system.
Okay, so we got specific. We can get specific here instead of general because we got three black men. We can ask these three black men, myself, South Carolina, and Jeff, at what point does the government start paying for your kids?
When the government provides food stamps.
I'm asking you specifically.
Medicaid.
Okay, here we go.
Go ahead. Food stamps, Medicaid, housing, and vouchers so they can get heat, water, and electricity, and give them a free phone. You have.
I'm talking about you.
You have.
Let's talk about the three of us. the three of us, because we have a good example. We got somebody in the north, we got somebody in the west, we got somebody in the south, three black men. We're all, you know, over 30-something, and we can find out specifically at what point did the government came in and touch your life, like with the welfare and the food stamps.
At what point? Listen.
I'm asking.
No, if you want to make it specific, you've got individuals, you got different individuals out there. And as a collective, these certain amount of these individuals have been indoctrinated into the system, okay? That's what we're talking about. You've got those individuals out there that have escaped the system. They freed their minds, and they are no longer in it.
So you, at one point, you were a subject of the government, and you freed yourself.
Do what?
You said, so you're saying at one point you were subject to the system and then you freed yourself.
We're all subject to the system somewhere.
I've never been subject to the system.
Well, yeah, you are. When they take your money and taxes, you are subject to them.
Oh, yeah. Because
you don't have nothing you can do about that.
So if you get taxed, all 360 million of us, we get taxed, we're all victims of the same government. So we're all dependent on the government for welfare and all that stuff. And just you guys had just laid out as your logic. That if you pay taxes, I'm following your logic now. If you pay taxes, we're all now I'm included. We're all subject to the government, and we're all indoctrinated.
No, not all of them.
I'm following your logic. I'm trying to follow your logic.
We all may be subject to it, but we're not all indoctrinated.
Okay, I can make you see it real quick. I can make you see it real clear. Okay,
yes, sir.
Tracy tried to say it, when you have a young lady that will go out and screw, and I'm saying it in those terms, have a baby, not have the father, don't want to even get a father's name, but they have to, but don't want to get a father's name because he's gone now, and then she knows that she's going to get a check, that's being indoctrinated. Because she ain't thinking about going out there and getting no job and doing it herself. That's indoctrination.
And that's us paying for bad behavior.
But
exactly,
one set of people
right.
won't.
Right. You're exactly 100% right, right? That's the point I was trying to make. You're talking about something that's indoctrinating females. I'm asking
what kind of male sits there and does that and lets his child get taken care of by the state and don't have much to do with him unless he turns out to be a football or basketball player or something like that. And I'm talking about black and white. You got both of the people.
Absolutely. I mean, it's been said on this program before that, the welfare state used the African American population as the test case to destroy the rest of us, and that's what they did.
So
they destroyed the work ethic in the African American community, and they're destroying it in the rest of the community, the rest of the country.
Let me throw this into the mix. Where we fail is when you no longer have a man inside of your home raising his children. Teaching his young girl to be a lady and teaching his young boys to be a man, what happens is it teaches men to walk away from their responsibility, and it teaches girls to not have self-esteem where they open their legs to any man that walks by. And anytime you have that and you have a system that is uneducated, well, I said that right now we in the city of Youngstown, we spend approximately $17,000 per pupil per year. They still can't read, and you still have a high incarceration rate and a low academic rate. All you're doing is feeding the beast of slavery. They call it communism, call it socialism, call it dependent on the government, whatever you want to call it, because you're no longer independent. And we are breeding this, and it's perpetuating after its own kind. And everybody stands around the walls and looks at it and does nothing about it.
At what point did the male create this? But do you remember the black legislation? Hold on, let me ask my question first, Jeff. Do you remember a black legislation creating this policy? Were there a group of black males that set out and said, we're going to create this system, the such and such, and
no,
a group of black males?
No,
way of,
I, no, you know
okay,
what I want?
Okay,
you know what I want? I watched the liberal arm of the Democrat Party, starting with LBJ, before Great Society. It was FDR.
Yeah,
FDR, chicken in every pot guy, and then
LBJ.
LBJ with the Great Society. Do you know that in 1960 that a black woman between the ages of 18 and 30 was more likely to be married with children than her white counterpart? And then by 1970, that was over. Okay, what happened in that time?
Great Society.
Great Society. First of all,
pull the man out of the house.
Pull the man out the
destroy
house.
Destroy the family by pulling the man out of the house.
Right. You ain't allowed to get. You're not allowed to get anything, if that's about, if that's going to help you. That man can't be there. We're not going to give you nothing if the man is there.
And I was having babies by immaculate conception. Because the more babies I had, the more money I made.
Right, so that was you. Because you just said it was the more babies you had, the more money you made. I asked again, what was the black man doing? What was the black man who had a job?
The black man was being emasculated.
Let me ask you the question. I got 2 seconds.
Go ahead.
When the black man
had
a job and he's getting to work and he's getting his paycheck, like me, I look at my wallet, I get taxed, right? I pay internal revenue every year, pay property tax. What happened to that black man?
You ain't got no brothers in prison?
Hell no, my brothers ain't in prison. All them
sitting
there like
me. No, come in there. Do you have friends who are incarcerated? Do you have relatives that are incarcerated right now?
I know one person that was incarcerated. One of my friends
got
incarcerated.
Do you know other men who have not been incarcerated that are not working?
I probably am aware of them, but I don't roll in no circle. It's a lot of people out here in black that are unemployed.
Hold on. Do you know some men that are on SSI right now? But you know that they could be working, but they're not.
Men, no. Women, yes.
Well, let me say this. I know some men who are working the system. They're working the system with the girlfriends. They're working the system with the SSI. They're working the system with the education. They're working the system with the food stamps. And they're making it happen for them, and they're not doing it. They don't take care of their children. They don't raise them. But they go out and make them like it's a baby. And women are stupid enough to talk about, I want your baby. That's crazy. And I don't care if you are working a minimum wage job. A minimum wage job does not raise a family.
I forget the minimum wage. We'll say the minimum wage.
We're going to break here in about 30 seconds. We're going to break here in 30 seconds.
We're making some money. How did we contribute to this system? How did Covina Man contribute to a system in which all the women are getting welfare, black, white, Hispanic, and the men don't get anything but a check? I get taxed.
Listen, sweetie, the problem is that you have not become the norm. You've become the exception. And we've got to change that paradigm around. That's the issue. That is the issue in a nutshell. Yeah, there are a lot of us who've made it out, and we're scared on our own 2 feet, and we're not waiting for the Uncle Sam to take care of it.
That's the black man.
All right. We're going to break here. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We'll be right back. I didn't even give a chance to get no bumper music on. Sticks, where are you? I'm messing up over here. See you right back. There you go.
You're an exception, sweetie.
I might be an exception in some ways, but not in general. In general,
yes, you are.
Because black people don't have welfare programs.
No, baby.
We don't have welfare
programs. Listen, look at how many black men are incarcerated. Look at how many that are going to the jail system and to the penal system. Look at what's going on here. Look at how many children are being raised in single-family homes. And when I say that, they don't have a daddy. Daddy is nowhere to be found.
Tracy, I agree with you, right? That has to do with the black women. The black women are conspiring with these white supremacists to divide up the dang society. They team with this government to take down the black men. Ain't doing this. We didn't pass no laws. We're not out there in no lines and no welfare offers of black men dividing up families.
The black man is selling the black man and the black woman out. I can name them. Would you like me to give you their name?
Repeat that. Repeat that point because I missed that.
There are black men and black women. The black men who are sitting at tables of influence on both sides of the equation that are throwing us out every day. And I can give you their name.
Sitting at what
the
table?
Huh?
Sitting at what table? What are you talking about?
They're sitting at tables of influence of legislative laws.
Okay, they're in position.
They're in position. But they have sold you out. They have sold me out. I can give you their names. The problem is we won't own up to it. Because every time they stand up behind somebody, they get a paycheck. And they don't care what the message is that's coming out of the person's mouth as long as they keep on getting a paycheck on their own. And they think that they're no longer dependent on the system. Yet the system is tipping them just like Judas.
You're probably accurate on that. You will not see me disagreeing with that statement.
And I have a problem with that.
We all have
instead
a problem.
Instead of them, they're always trying to get theirs, and instead of them getting theirs and doing the right thing, they get there and they sell us out every time, and then we go and we applaud them because we think that they have their best interest at heart. And they haven't had our best interest at heart for 30 years.
We don't applaud
and
them.
And we won't hold them accountable.
Have you ever heard of anybody applaud Clarence Thomas? Have you ever heard anybody applaud any of these bootlegging
in office? Clarence Thomas may not, I am not a Clarence Thomas fan. But Clarence Thomas, I may not be a fan of his, but every day the vote clock is right twice a day. I understand that. But I also understand that
not
Jesse
the ones
Jackson,
with no hands.
Hold on.
He ain't got no
Jesse
hands.
Jackson, Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, they roll most of the day, and we follow them like they're our leader.
The thing is,
Bill and Jordan, all of them, all they do is get there. They're not doing anything for us.
You cannot
have unemployment the way you have it right now. And in the African American male community, it is double and or triple. The average.
It's always,
and no
it's
one
always,
says a word about it.
We always been at
We've
always been at the bottom. Always been at the bottom is where black folk, black and bottom should be synonymous. We're always been at the bottom. That's the system of America.
No, it should not.
But that's America. That is the United States of America. Black on bottom.
Because you won't stand up on your own two feet.
Yeah, I just told you I'm standing up. You just said I'm a patriot.
Korea, we had a hard time coming out of slavery because you couldn't convince black folks that they were slaves. And it's the same thing today. You can't convince
them
that they're walking back into slavery.
Because half of them was mixed. Yeah, half of them was slave. Half of them was they had a white daddy. Half of people were mixed.
Corina, ma'am, listen. You're wrong. Well, Grandma's husband said it. She said, I would have freed more if I could have just convinced them that they were slaves.
Exactly, because she was dark. And a lot of those people were light-skinned, half black, quadroons. Octoroons, they didn't know they were slaves. They were, I'm not black.
Yes, they did.
I got this straight here.
Listen, I don't care. It ain't about the color of your hair.
For them it was. It's not for me, but for them it was. A lot
but
of black people
got a
are sitting up here
today.
Mixed and confused.
No, they ain't confused. The problem, the confusion comes in is that we will not listen to one another and understand that we got to stand on our own two feet.
I'm telling you, black men have been standing on their own two feet since day one. We ain't had no system. We ain't had no system.
It ain't about a system. It's about standing up for what's right. And quit letting the winky fire you. And lead you.
A little bit of Earth, Wind, Fire for you at 1:29 here on a Friday. It's Friday. And anyway, so I've been looking for this Earth, Wind, and Fire on YouTube for 100 years. Finally, somebody got it and put it on because I could not find it. I was upset. But that's one of the jazz things from way back when Tracy introduced me to Earth, Wind, and Fire, you know, when I was a little kid. And, you know, she always took me under her wing and, kept me informed about what was going on in music. And Tracy, thank you. I really appreciate that
Jeff,
you did that, you know.
Jeff, you know you can go to Jeff a line as well as steal it, right?
Only under oath, Tracy. Only under oath. Oh, so don't you lie about it. You tell them the truth. You just tell them the truth.
Jeff, listen, in 1972, when That's the Way of the World came out, I was like 9 years old, 8 years old. You were graduating from school, college.
No. Not that far. Come on,
yeah,
now, Trace.
You were graduating from college.
I'm still doing good.
You just got done telling us you've been trying to find that song for 100 years. So you know.
I have. But that's since you told me about it, Tracy. That's since you told me about it. Anyway, we're going to go with this. WSOM 600 AM Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. Jeff and Sticks and Tracy and South Carolina and Covina, man. This is interesting to see this dynamic because I don't understand, Covina, man, where you think that this can go. Kathleen Sebelius put so much money into collecting your private information that she did not make the site friendly for you to be able to go shopping afterwards. So tell me.
Yeah, you're accurate. I think that appears to be what the problem was.
Yeah. She's laughing because we've been telling you that that's all that this was in the first freaking place.
You're getting off point. But you're getting off point, man. I mean, the health care, the entertainment service. So, man. But I just want to go back to the thing. I just want to go back to the one.
It's ignorance. It's ignorance and stupidity, and we need to wake up and find out that we've been played.
Let me finish this one important point here, because we were in the middle and then we got cut off. I was talking about, you have systems that were set up to benefit black women, not black men. And Tracy wants to say that somehow it's third degree separation, that somehow black men are out. And I wanted to point out, that black men who are working, we don't have those situations. The government is not benefiting us. We're paying into the government, and we black women are receiving benefits. And I want to continue that situation with the whole red state, blue state, who's giving taxes and stuff, to make this one last point, and that is black men have been continually, since the end of slavery, trying to pull himself up by his bootstraps with no help from the government, no tax, no benefits from programs. However, your friendly neighborhood white person, and I made this point before, but your friendly neighborhood white person has been given the Homestead Act and other and the college bill for World War II vets was denied to black people. So the black man had to pull himself up by his bootstraps, but the white guy got help from the government. The Little House on the Prairie, remember that TV show that white folks love so much? White folks, the government just gave them free land. Hey, move to Kansas. Come from Europe. We got you a start. We'll get you some land. Move you out to Oregon. We'll move you out to Wyoming. We'll move you out. We'll clear out those Indians. Don't you worry about it. And what about the Negroes? Worry about the Negroes. They have to pull themselves by them bootstraps. So we've been continually, for hundreds of years, black men, continually pulling ourselves up by our bootstraps. Covina Man is prime example of said black man. Received no government help. I paid for my college, paid for my home, bought my land, paid it off, stockpiling whatever I want to stockpile, got money in the bank by my own bootstraps. I didn't go to the federal government for one thin dime. But you white people have been given land by the droves, states by the droves.
The Homestead Act applied to everybody.
Not black people.
No.
I'm talking about after 1880, 1890.
Because I'm
1880, 1890.
Okay, well, do you know?
And it was amended in 1916.
Hold on, Jeff. You got to clarify that. You got to let him know. No, we didn't get in that.
Yeah. This is the thing. You know what they were doing? They were taking our land during the Homestead Act and giving it to white people.
No. You're talking two different laws. You're talking about what was happening in the South with that. I'm talking about the Homestead Act out west.
Jim Crow wasn't just in the South.
Oh, I understand that, but what I'm saying is it's two different things. What they did to your grandfather.
Grandfather's uncle.
Right. That was a totally different thing from the Homestead Act.
We were never included in any of the legislation that had any benefit from whether it be the Telecommunications Act when it says giving away spectrum to the where it was the Homestead Act. You could not own that kind of land, and if you did, you weren't going to own it long.
Thank you.
And that's the case.
There was not any wholesale allowing of black people to take part in it. And if black people attempted to, they were done just like the IRS did conservatives.
I understand the Black Wall Street thing and what was done there. That was
Black Wall Street.
Yeah, that didn't happen up here.
And you know, so this is in your backyard, right here in the Mahoning Valley. You got to remember, in 1923, you still had to sit up in the top of the Paramount Theater downtown.
Absolutely,
in the back row. So don't get it twisted and think because we live up north that the Homestead Act didn't exist. That's not true.
Hey Tracy, it was so bad we couldn't even sit downstairs in the Regent Theater, and the Regent Theater had rats.
we had that discussion.
I understand it was illegal, but they got away with it anyways. I understand that.
And what I'm saying is, so you can say, well, you were a part of it, but when Kofi the Man says that black men were trying, it is always be stay in your place and pull yourself up on the bootstrap while I actually get a benefit. You get it? That is true. I can't disagree with that. That is true. But today, in 2014, they have weakened the black man so much that he won't even stand up. And there are people like Kofi the Man who are the exception. But he's not the norm. And the question that I have today for us is how do we turn the exception into the norm and the norm into the exception? And if any man wants to become something, that we strengthen his legs so that he can stand up on crutches and then stand up on his own two feet. That's the issue. How do we do that? How do we make it happen? People that want to do something can do something, but we have to strengthen them because in their mind they've been weakened by society to let them know, if you stand it on your own two feet, I'll kill you. Ask Martin Luther King.
Well, you have to understand something. A lot of the reason why you have a lot of black people that are not workers and not a certain way is because many of their families have been frustrated. Not all. I'm not saying, and I'm not even going to say most. I'm going to say a lot. And their families have been frustrated with survival. And every time you try to lift up your head and somebody hits you with a mallet and knocks you back down, and then you get to be so gun-shy that every time you go to reach your hand in against man, I can't do that because, you know, white man won't let me in. I can't do that because, you know, you got to have money and the banks won't let you do it. You don't really, but the thing is you have to understand the climate of wherever you find yourself in this country. And one thing is it's not an easy thing to just get a notion to go and start a business or do something because I see a lot of people trying it They do the things that they think are good, and they fail at it daily. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Jeff, everybody, Tracy. I think she's on the phone, it sounds like. She asked an important question about how can we make the exception the norm. And I have to say, I don't think that's the right question to ask. I think what you have to ask is, can it be done? Can you make the exception the norm? Can you do it in this country? Because, you know, it's one of those things that I think I've heard people say that the clinical definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. And so if we look at our history, we've had very, very, very ambitious people in our history. We have a very rich history as African Americans. You know, looking at the whether or not you agree with their methods or not, but people like Marcus Garvey or Elijah Muhammad, and the things that they accomplished, and Booker T. Washington, and a lot of other people, but looking at what it's actually achieved for us as a people, you know, we have to really question that. I think we have to go back to Carter G. Woodson's, you know, Miseducation of the Negro, and ask those fundamental questions about about our place and what the state of our education in this country. So I would like to see the exception to be the norm, but we have to ask, be honest with ourselves, is it even possible in this country?
Oh, it's very possible. Hey!
You know what? It can happen if we choose to. The question is, will we sacrifice for the sum of the whole?
Are you saying that we weren't choosing to before? I mean, what I'm saying is
we're not willing to. When they killed Martin Luther King, they stopped at the dream because nobody wanted to die. So you have to realize I don't know of a group right now that's willing to march down anywhere with hoes and dogs and get beat up and go on bus rides and get the living daylight beat out of them and all that today and say, okay, now we'll march in the sun as long as it's not raining.
But let's look at our history, though. I mean, we've had the Deacons for Defense. We've had people like Denmark Vesey. We've had even in Rosewood, we had the men stood up and fought there. We had we stood up and fought in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And the only thing that happened is we pushed the white aggressors off of our land. And the only thing that happened is the federal government just dropped the bomb on us. So in our history, all I'm saying is that we have stood up, and so is it intelligent to keep doing that if we know what the result is going to be anyway?
No, Alex. You got to realize, every time we push, we move the ball a little bit further down the field. So even though it may have been somebody's lives got lost and some things got burned, we moved ahead, and that's why we're here today, and some of us are doing
okay,
very, very well.
And then we'll be right back after these messages. That was why we're here today. Afternoon, Tracy and Fred.
Alex, if you really look at where we are right now, I mean, you got a black man in the White House, even though he's not acting like a black man. But I'm just saying, we've moved the ball down the field.
Yeah, but I don't call that progress.
Look where you are. Look what you're doing. Look what Kobe and the man's doing. And look at where your grandfather could not do what you're doing today and be who they are today. So we have made some progress.
But we had more black people in Congress during slavery than we do today. So, I mean, if you look at the last 100 years in terms of our self-reliance and independence, we're actually worse off than we were 100 years ago. Our families
that's
were better. We had more representation in government. We had more businesses. So I don't see your point that we keep moving. We're moving the ball forward. With these advances, if anything, the ball has been moving backwards.
No, the ball is forward. Because actually, if you look at the Congressional Black Caucus, they are ineffective. And until we get them out of there and put people in there who are going to be effective, they should be. If we want to blame everything on the Tea Party, they should have just as much or more power than the Tea Party. It's because they turned the party line, and they don't stand on their own two feet, going back and lying down again. We put weak people in so that they can be controlled by the system. And then putting strong people in that are going to make the system be uncomfortable.
I think that as long as it's not your system, you will always be outmaneuvered, though.
Look at Cornel West.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I am not. Look at what he's saying right now is very, very true.
Yep. And
look
Travis.
How much play. And Travis. And look how much play they're getting. Arsenio Hall won't even bring them on the show so they can have a conversation about it.
Yeah, and that's always been one of the issues that we've had. We've always had what Malcolm X called the field Negro versus the house Negro paradigm within our ranks. That you know, and that's essentially what it is. Just because we got a black man in the White House, you know, we got a bunch of house Negroes coming out now, and a lot of wannabe house Negroes, especially like Dr. Dyson, Mike or Eric Dyson, and we all know about Sharpton, but you know, we got the house Negroes coming out the woodwork, you know, and that's always been a big problem for the African American community, is that it's almost a civil war that's been fought for since we've landed here on slave ships, is that house Negro versus the field Negro.
I'm saying, Alex, but there are some of us that are willing to die as a fight, like the Harriet Tubmans and like the Marcus Garveys and like the Malcolm X and like the Martin Luther King. And we've got different ways of getting to our destination, but we're willing to take the bullet for the advancement of our community. The question is, will the community, will 10% of the community stand up with us so that we can march forward?
When Alex described a house Negro and a field Negro, I don't think that Malcolm X would be referring to Dr. Dyson as a house Negro. I think that...
Yo, he's a house Negro.
Well, he may be, but I'm saying that's not who he would be talking about. A house Negro would be like Clarence Thomas. That's who they would be talking about.
That's where you missed the mark. See, you can put Dyson and Clarence Thomas in the same bucket and call them the same thing. And until you see that, you will always see where you are.
I didn't call them the same thing. I didn't call them the same thing. I don't agree. I don't agree with Alex. I don't agree with
what
Alex said. I think he's inaccurate on who will be labeled a house Negro. That part of what he said was inaccurate.
Country and Western. He didn't. Wait a minute. Sorry about that. Where are you at?
Hey, Jeff.
You must be. There you go.
Turn it
off.
You got to turn it off.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got No Show Jones. He had a little substance abuse problem. Yeah.
And you know
you're
lying, right?
Yeah. Okay, you got to behave in there?
No. I got a question for you. Can I play a game with you? Can I play a game real quick? I need to know, if I say a name, you either say house Negro or field Negro. Huh?
Go ahead.
Why are you laughing at?
You turn Mark up.
Yeah, Mark's up.
My favorite lawyer is in
Tracy, the... Tracy, how you doing?
Hey, Mark, how are you?
Listen, you had a party and nobody called me. You know, I'm crushed, so I just had to come over here and say, wow, you know, and see Sticks and Jeff and talk to you. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm on the road
How's
again.
How's the traffic?
It's pretty good. I'm on State Patrol out here like it's a business, but I'm doing well.
You must not be too far down there because that one lane stuff, boy. I fought with that last week. Boy, I was upset.
Oh, no, I don't have my lane yet. Fight this up. But, Jeff, I gotta go back to my day because I don't want to take up too much time because you're going to go to break in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Dyson. House Negro, still Negro.
Michael Dyson. Definitely House.
Okay. Clarence Thomas. Mm-hmm.
House.
Al Sharpton.
Field.
Jimmy Jackson.
House Field.
That was interesting. You got to realize that people sometimes these people they come out of the house and go into the field when it's expedient, or and then they go back in the house when the heat gets too hot out there in the field, then they go back in the house. So, you know,
but Alex was making a specific point about Malcolm X, and you can't put that in a different context. When Malcolm X speaks of house Negroes, I don't want to be racist here. You know, but he was specifically talking about a white man. If you listen to his speech, he's talking about white man. He's not talking about the government.
No,
he's not talking about somebody rich.
Not.
He's talking specifically about white man in the house, Massa in the house. Massa and his house Negroes work with Massa to oppress the black people. That's specific. That's not, you can't like generalize and say, oh, he means President Obama. That's ridiculous. It specifically means white people.
Wait a minute. No, I disagree because you don't call white people N-words. Okay, so if you're going to say a house Negro.
No, he's not talking about. I'm talking about that. The person in the house is the white man, not the house Negro.
Well,
the house Negro is the person working with the white man.
Do you deny that you have a.
Is the house Negro.
Do you not deny that?
If you think that Barack Obama is working in the interest of black people, then you're really
delusional.
So it doesn't matter what color he is.
But that's okay. You don't care what color he is, but that right there voids your comment about what is a house Negro. You have to have a white man in the house.
No, it doesn't.
A white man as a master. The white man is the master. Listen to this. YouTube it and play the clip. The clip specifically talks about white men and then how white man's house burning. If the master's sick, there's a house Negro. The house Negro's like, oh, master is sick. The
Negro's, I hope
he dies. Your
hatred for white people is so
deep. Malcolm X. Malcolm X. He called it Malcolm X.
Your hatred. You're the same for white folks. Like it's all white folks.
He said Malcolm X.
Alex
said Malcolm X.
You can't see the forest from the trees, dude. That's all it is. You can't see the forest from the trees.
I'll say it like this. Malcolm X didn't hate white people either. Especially after he came back.
I didn't either. That was Tracy that said that.
No. It's what you said about, no, your words. Your words kind of describe you because you're the first one always hollering white supremacy, white supremacy.
I'm not really ashamed of myself.
Hold on, Diva.
What I'm saying is, the problem that we have is you disdain white people just by being white.
That's
and
what Malcolm X was saying.
No, Kalina, man. Just no, how
wasn't.
You call people call people that you don't know on my show.
Play the clip. That's all I got to say. Play the clip.
We'll work with that later. Not
right
today. We're not going to have time today.
We're doing that today.
Huh?
Go ahead, Jeff.
No. I'm just saying that here it is. It's okay, but you definitely have President Obama is playing the House Negro, per se. Because he is doing the bidding of the people that put him in that house. And I'm not talking about all y'all that think you voted for him to put him in a house. I'm talking about the people that put the money up to have him be able to utterly destroy his enemies and walk into the presidency.
That's not people, what a house in Phil Negro is, and I think that's what we mean.
Diva, stop. I'm talking now. You'll get your chance. And we're talking about what a house Negro does, and a house Negro does the bidding of the massa. And that is just what's happening here, because guess what, Diva? And guess what, anybody else that wants to know? Black people have lost in every economic marker there is since this man has been in office, and they are doing it quicker now that this health care law has gone. What makes you think in a land where you're still the last hired, first fired, that you're going to be one of the ones that be the first ones to get health care because you got a black man in there that's half black and doesn't have any identity with being American black? He has none.
Well, guess what? The exchanges don't ask you for your race. I mean, well, it does ask you for your race.
Yes,
but you don't
they
have
do.
To
they ask
there.
You for every bit of your information. That's why the heck the doggone system went down, because Kathleen Sebelius said, I'm not excusing anything. I'm going to finish my statement.
Did you establish an account on healthcare.com?
Listen to me once again. I bet you didn't either. But
I
once
did
again,
too.
I said, I'll bet you didn't either, because once again,
I'll bet
they
you
want
I did,
every,
and I'm
okay,
I
they
did.
Want every bit of your private information. Let's see if you have to sign up again, okay? We'll see about that, Diva. But once again, the whole situation is they put so much money into taking your own personal information that they didn't even make it so you could really shop and find the right amounts of money that these things are supposed to be worth.
Jeff, why do you think they want all that information?
Because they're going to control you, and the government will then be your master.
You got to look at that. You look at what they're asking for. My goodness, look at what they've done to the foreign leaders of the world over here.
Absolutely.
How much? What do
they need?
They're
not asking for anything more than your private insurance or your job application is asking for.
They're the government. They don't need to know. Understand
what
that?
Do you mean they need to know?
They are the government. It is not their business.
It's not. It's a private insurance exchange. You're applying for
it
private insurance.
I don't care nothing about that. The private insurance
that
exchange
insurance
ain't asking
company
for the information.
Asking you for any other
Diva,
information with,
Diva,
that you would if you were applying outside the exchanges.
Diva, what are the 9,000 freaking IRS agents? Wait a minute. What are the 9,000 IRS agents there for?
They gotta increase their employment to process IRS claims to make sure that they get paid out if their people don't have insurance.
No, it isn't.
Insurance
claims are gonna be coming through.
Is she arguing for IRS agents here? She's got to be the only person in the United States.
No, he asked me a question and I'm answering it.
Here's the biggest thing, Diva. I can sue a private insurance company. I cannot sue the government.
It's not the government who's providing you with insurance. What part of that don't you people get?
What's the website say? White House dot
it's
what?
Not, it's
who's
not
the
providing you with
here?
Insurance.
Diva,
it's just providing you with a place to go
the
insurance. I mean, you guys got to be the
who's
dumbest.
Who's the enforcement arm? Who's the enforcement?
I don't like using dumb, but my gosh, my goodness, I don't call people names.
You're not answering the question, Diva.
Diva, I'm not Ford calling anybody dumb. Who's the enforcement arm on this?
I said I don't like using the word dumb, but my gosh, that word applies right now. That if
no,
you
it
don't
doesn't.
Understand,
wait, it's absolutely
this
dumb,
law
but it
does not
to
provide
you
with insurance
question.
From the government. It
that's
just provides you with a place to shop for private insurance.
Diva, why do they need to provide that?
Diva?
Go ahead, Stick.
Who is the enforcement arm of this?
The enforcement of the mandate. The enforcement of making sure that people sign up for this private health insurance is the government.
Making
they
sure,
are the but that does
okay,
not mean
Diva.
they're providing you with
so
the actual insurance.
So if all they need – now, wait a minute. If all the IRS needs then is my name and Social Security number, why do they need to know all my health information?
They don't ask for your health information.
Yes, they do.
It's redundant.
They do.
There's no need.
Yes, they do.
No, they don't. They didn't ask me for mine.
They
did you sign up?
Did you sign up
on healthcare.gov?
Talking to an attorney, Diva.
I don't care if I'm talking to an attorney. Because what you think you know is not what...
Diva, take a breath. Take a breath.
That's
you can take a breath.
I gave her a breath.
You can do it. Take a breath.
I gave her a breath. I muted her.
You know, you can go into, when you go into the doctor's office, they're going to ask you a series of questions right on down to your sex life. Now, they got to report that to Health and Human Services. It doesn't go to the insurance company. The government's going to carry a central clearinghouse for your benefit of all of your health information. It's none of their business. Because they're going to be using it against you in the future. That you gather the information, not for the beauty of the day, because they want to use it. They want to control you. They want to know where you are. They want to know what you weigh. They want to know how much food you're going to eat. They want to know how tall you are. Do you smoke? Do you not smoke? Then I give it to an insurance company. That's fine. They're selling me a product with no government interference. But this goes to the government. And if the IRS
against federal government is shaping your opinion.
Diva, the architect,
right, and this lie that you guys want to
tell.
No, it's not a lie.
They're
the architect
the
is a lie.
Plan is a man by the name of Ezekiel Emanuel. Rahm Emanuel's brother, Dr. Ezekiel Emanuel,
hey,
is the architect of this plan. And one of the things that he put in there is called the complete life system, which is what they have in the United Kingdom, which it's a formula that says you've got X number of years to live. And we're going to spend this much money on you, and if you go over that amount, you're done.
You're done. And
you guys.
We got to go to break. We're going to
direction.
Break. You guys will be in there. You can talk. But I'm going to just tell you, you're a fool if you don't believe that they're going to use this against you. And you're a fool if you trust the government with everything about your life. You're a fool. Thank you.
And you're dumber than a box of rocks, and that's just that. And I don't like calling people dumb, but this is dumb as hell. I swear.
You've never went on
and signed in and logged on to the insurance exchanges and saw the information for yourself. Then, and the stuff that you're saying, it's a lie. You're perpetrating a lie. Whether you want to believe it or not, yeah, you may have it in your head how you think it's going to work, but that doesn't matter compared to how something actually works. The insurance industry is the ones who are running this program, who are providing people with insurance, and no, they don't ask you for your insurance information, your health information anymore, because it doesn't make any sense. Pre-existing conditions, they're not allowed to kick you off or deny you coverage. So none of that. So your health doesn't even matter because regardless of health, they got to give you insurance and they have to give it to you at the same rate as a healthy person.
Hey, Diva. This is Alex. Let me ask you something. So what is this database then, this huge database that they're making that's supposedly for our medical records? What's going in it if it's not our personal information?
Are we talking about the healthcare exchanges, or are we talking about something different?
Okay.
It's
all tied together, Diva, because...
No, it's not.
Just listen for a second, please.
Okay.
Jesus Christ. Okay. You go into the healthcare exchange, right? Yeah, you're right. They're not collecting any information there. However, once you go to your doctor... through what's reported to the insurance companies, they are required to input this information into a federal database, which is what's checked by all the different federal agencies, and that's what people are talking about. Not that when you sign up for the, you know, through the exchange that they're collecting this information, but now it's mandated by law that this information that the doctors collect and is input into a federal database.
Database, absolutely.
So let me chime in. So you think that this is part of the book of Revelations or something? The secret system come in and gonna start checking the medical records and stamping people with the number of the beast? Is that where this is going?
Hey, so wait a minute.
This doctor's been asking for your health information. Years. I believe that they're trying to create a national database to make patient information available across the board to doctors to make it much more sufficient for doctors to treat somebody. Because if I go to Ohio Wexner Medical Center with a condition and then I end up somewhere else and having to go to another hospital, well, if I'm unconscious, That hospital does not know my history. They may not know how to treat me correctly. So if I have an allergy to something, a medication that usually treats the illness that I'm dealing with, they may give me that and essentially kill me. So doctors who want to be at a base.
I love the rationale that they give us, and, you know, it makes sense. But you can carry that on your driver's license, because there's enough data on the back of your driver's license to carry that. And not
why would I want my
data
health information on my driver's license that I can lose somebody to steal?
You don't listen. That little black strip on the back of your driver's license that you can't read, it can hold more data than you can imagine. The problem is what you're doing is you are allowing Big Brother because Social Security can no longer track you the way that they wanted to. And they want to eavesdrop into your whole existence. And the best way to do that is through your health.
Okay, so if we do put the information on the strip or on a chip in our driver's license, they still created the same database.
No, Diva, it's not in the database.
So if I leave my license at home, because I don't take my license everywhere I go at me, because I know my license number by heart, and if I get a ticket, I just give it to the officer or whatever. I don't take my license everywhere I go. So if I forget my license or if I don't have a license, then what?
Then you can't vote.
You can't vote, and then they're gonna sign you up for the Mark of the Beast, I guess. Revelations, something.
I mean, I get what you guys are saying, but the fact of the matter is, you can pinpoint and poke holes in what you want to do in that license. You guys are just, here's the thing, why don't you guys just be honest of what you're afraid of? Quit trying to scare people and just be honest and tell people, look, we are afraid that this is going to create a bigger system. We don't like the government, so we're afraid people are going to like this and it's just going to grow government so much more. Also, we're afraid, and then the evangelical right just need to be honest. Look, we're afraid this gets us closer to the mark of the beast. Just be honest and quit trying to scare people and let people make a rational decision on their own and quit trying to lie and scare people.
Hey, Diva.
Y'all straight lying. Y'all lying and scaring people. You may not think it, but more rational people can see the lie that's coming up out of the studio, off the phone, off the pages, off your Facebook pages.
Hey, Diva. Let me tell you something. Now, I agree with you. People should just be well-informed and make their own decision. But this is where the fundamental difference comes with, you know, I don't clash myself with Republicans. You know, I'm a libertarian. And so what you have to realize is that government is nothing but force. And here lies the problem. Your president forced everyone into this program instead of giving everybody a choice and giving everyone instead of giving everyone good information and letting everyone make their own decision. He didn't do that. And this is the problem with both Democrats and Republicans. They both want to grow the government, but they just want to grow the government in their own way and force everyone else to do whatever they want them to do. And that
again,
is the problem.
You're being misinformed, and you're putting out another lie. Because the Democrats and the president wanted a public option to where people can voluntarily opt into a government-paid system. They had to pay a stipend each month, but it was going to be small, and it was going to be like something like Medicare or Medicaid. So the people who are above Medicaid and who can't pay for private insurance would have been able to voluntarily opt into.
We back! So you guys behave in there. I know you can hear me. Yes. Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're in our last hour, and it's going by real fast today. Kathleen Sebelius does not work for you. Just remember that. We don't want to hear nothing out of you people telling her that she needs to resign. You guys got to go. You guys have to go. Ain't nothing happening.
The serfs must remember who is in charge.
Yes, serfs. Yes,
all of us serfs out here better remember that we didn't go to the Ivy League schools, so we are not intelligent enough to run our own lives.
Yeah, we're not. But of course, you know, here we go.
Kathleen, the girl's 12 instead of 13, so she can't have a heart and lung transplant. Sebelius.
Yeah.
Some people live, some people die.
Yep.
Gee, So
let me shake her head.
The blue pill or the green pill one,
yeah,
right?
No, that's it. I want to shoot her in a kneecap.
Whoa!
And see how long it takes for not give her a knee transplant.
Well, you know,
see
I mean,
how long it takes for her to live or
maybe,
die.
Maybe we need to tell Grandma she just needs to take the pain pill and not get the hip replacement.
Grandma got run over by a reindeer.
Obama not going to pay for the hip transplant.
You may say that you don't believe in Obama, but as for me and Grandma, we understand.
We ought to do that for Christmas.
That's what
we're
going
to sing
that
song
out.
I'm going
to do that. I'm going to write that whole song.
Yeah. I mean, you got background bands and everything.
Oh yeah, man! I wrote a song to Margaritaville.
Yeah,
wasting away in Barack Obamaville.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm gonna start playing that. They coming to get me. I think then.
Yeah, we got to get that recorded.
Tracy,
we should record a whole Obama spoof album and sell it.
Let's do it. Hey, you know, that sounds like a plan. I like that idea.
Sell it locally so we don't get them coming for royalty.
Here's the question: Tracy gonna sing on the album?
Tracy.
Yes.
Are you gonna sing on the Barack Obama spoof album?
Do I get to see the lead part?
No.
You're going to be one of the Tada girls in the background.
We're going to make you be, what's her name from Barbara Lee? What's her name? Jackson something? Jackson down in Texas? You got to get her voice. Yeah, Sheila Jackson Lee. We're going to have you be her voice. They're just prejudiced. That's all. They're just prejudiced. They hate this man. No, we don't hate this man. We hate your stupidity, Barbara. You're stupid. And I don't even know why you get it voted back in like you do. I'm just beyond me.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
Alex,
yes,
I don't. I don't know, man. I just don't know. Here we go.
Because they got Kool-Aid. They got Kool-Aid.
Kool-Aid tastes great. Wish I had some. Can't wait.
Tracy, I got to tell you, Jeff's got good bumper music just like you use.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I don't know anything I got about music from Jeff.
Here we go. Hey, we got Not So Blind out there. Come on, Not So Blind. Wait a minute. Not So Blind, we're going to bring you up. You are up. But we have to say something to Diva, first of all.
No.
Hey.
No. No.
Why?
No.
Why?
I can cut her off.
No, Jeff, because Diva got Kool-Aid-itis.
Wait a minute.
A very, very, very bad disease. She got the Sheila Jackson Lee Kool-Aid-itis, and it's a bad thing.
Right.
Because if you can't understand, I'm gathering all the data and putting it in a database so I can find out, trace you, track you, and control you. And you say, well, it's all right. Because people need to know what happens when you get hurt and you drink that Kool-Aid. You got issues.
And that just gets me. I mean, I can't understand. I can't believe that anybody is that naive, but I have to believe that. Because they vote just like they think. And
all you have to do is ask your doctors how they feel about such a database.
And my doctors say, to hell with this program. That's what they say, okay? How about that? All of my doctors do.
It would be much easier if each hospital had a database where a patient had records. Because it takes too long. Now it takes too long. And it's not efficient.
The Cleveland Clinic has a wonderful, you know, digital medical records program. Actually, they send you your records, and you have it online where you can print out everything that you need. But what I'm saying is, a federal database for you to actually put it in put mine and yours, and you in Columbus and I'm in Youngstown, in the same database, and collect our data, compare our data, and use it for their own whimsy is not a good thing, especially when you got people across the globe telling America to quit eavesdropping in on their conversation.
So if you go to Cleveland Clinic and then you happen to come down to Columbus and you're passed out, can't contribute to, and you have to go to a hospital, they don't know your information. How are they supposed to
treat you? Let me die.
They check your
wristband.
Let me die. So
just let you die then. All right. Okay.
I got a problem with that.
Not everybody has a wristwatch. Not everybody has a wristband.
Diva, I've met people with thumb drives.
They got a wristwatch, they got a wristband, they don't have a driver's license.
Girl,
what, Diva? You walk around just naked?
Most people don't carry their health information
Diva,
on them.
Diva, everyone is going to be issued a card, okay, pretty soon. Everybody in the United States that has that's in the healthcare system, period, is going to have a card. And guess what's going to be on that card?
Not your
well,
health information.
Oh, yes, it will be. Yes, your health information. Look at the law.
Now?
Look at the law, Diva, because that's what took the place of the chip. Remember? Remember that? When they had the chip in there first, and then they deep-sixed that bill, and then they came up with the new one. You have to have the card with the chip in it. Now, you tell me that is not correct.
No, that is correct. I thought you were saying that your information would be printed physically on the card, meaning you can see it.
No, they can't print all your information on a card.
I'm not denying that. That's what they have.
Voter ID.
It will be a voter ID.
That should be your voter ID, but there'd still be 32 million people, 40 million people that weren't covered.
You guys just need to be honest about how you really feel about this bill. You don't want government to grow. I get that. I completely understand. You're afraid of it being so good and so well liked that it's going to cause.
No, we're not. No, we're not, Diva.
You're
afraid. No, we're
not.
We hope. This is not who we are.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
Chill.
This is the thing. We don't care whether the program is good or not. It's not going to be good, first of all, because it's the government doing it. They're not made to do this. That's number one. Number two, listen, Diva. Listen. Number two, Diva. Number two, Diva. Then you can answer. If it was good, it would be fine that it's good for somebody. But here's the problem. The government has total freaking control over my life. I don't want them having control over my life. I don't want them knowing too much about me. And they don't need to. I am their boss by constitution, not them be mine. They don't dictate to me. I'm the one that am, this is the government of, for, and by the people, and we keep letting these stupid people come in here and call in this democracy. We're not in a democracy. You're in a representative republic.
The only ones you can dictate to is Senator Sherrod Brown, Senator Ron Portman, and your Congress.
No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
The only
people
you can dictate to, the rest of
no, it isn't. Because guess what? If
32 people,
Diva,
you have no say over.
You're being just like Kathleen stupid butt Sebelius that said that she don't work for the people that are asking her to resign.
No,
she works for every doggone buddy in this country. Everybody,
no,
so whoever asked her to resign.
Over 535 people in Congress. You only have
yes,
control
you,
over three. No, you only have control over three. Other 532 don't have to do your bidding.
Okay, Diva, you can vote for only three. You have control over them all because the Constitution gives you that right. You have to understand that. The Constitution gives you the right. You don't like the Constitution. You're just like the president that thinks it's a flawed document.
I love the Constitution. I don't have a problem.
No, you don't.
The thing is, I can understand the Constitution better than you can because your mind is warped by Fox News and the GOP and Republican rhetoric.
Jesus Christ. Lord, help us. The two of you. The two of you. Look, Diva. You don't go anywhere without ID on you anyway, and most people don't. Most people don't travel butt naked with nothing in their pocket. A chip that had access to an online account that you owned, private like your bank account with all your medical records is the answer. It doesn't belong to the government. It belongs to you. This way here you could be over in the Middle East, have a car crash, The doctor could take your card out of your wallet, slip it in, and see your medical records, go, oh, it's a good thing we didn't treat her. She's allergic to this medicine, and you're in control. There's no reason for the government to know. And here's what I'm going to tell you, Diva. Had this WikiLeaks thing, here, let me run a scenario. Instead of this self-righteous liberal idiot there releasing all these documents, this Snowden guy, because he doesn't think it's right for governments to have secret operations for intelligence, how about a super right-wing, self-righteous Christian who thinks anybody who has AIDS is because they did immoral things? What if they got a hold of a database working for the government that had everybody in the United States who had AIDS, and they put all their names and phone numbers up online? Do you think the right or the left would complain about that? The Democrats, they'd all be screaming and yelling. Nobody should have a centralized database about anything private to anybody, because we've proven that they're still administrated by humans, and humans are flawed. And if somebody gets a self-righteous attitude like that lady at the IRS or like this Snowden guy, and they want to expose somebody, you don't have any privacy. Like that idiot in New York State who put out there the list of everybody in the state who had a gun.
Yeah, yeah.
You've
been blocked all this time because I couldn't let you just keep running over people like you always do. You have to have a back and forth. It's not the Diva Hour. You have to go back and forth. But you refuse to do that because you're a liberal. Liberals, just like that man yesterday, would not stop talking in Congress. Mm-hmm. They told him to step down. I will not step down because I'm going to make you go my way. No, we're going to give you the truth about this, and you can choose to believe it if you want. But the next thing you'll be saying is, "Well, do you know the Bible says that they're going to do this?" So, see, and that's the stupidity. That's why Christians are going to be before God. And the Bible says that they're going to just get in because they're stupid. They're being stupid. They don't pay attention. You're not paying attention. Why does the government want your information? All of it.
What good and purpose goodness, comes from
they,
it?
I was going to say, and then look at who they're putting in charge of it. They're not putting they're not creating the health people to that do health care stuff to do that. They're not going to the human service. They're going to the freaking IRS.
We had Richard Nixon use the IRS against his political enemies. Barack Obama has used the IRS against his political enemies. And now you want to give your health care to the IRS? I don't care who's in the White House. You can't trust any of these people.
Yeah, that's two sides, both sides of the spectrum. Too many whack jobs running around. The government's getting too big. It's going to fall under its own weight. Listen, you know, the interesting thing is we had this conversation at lunch today while I was waiting for my lunch that never came.
Oh, man.
At one of the local eating establishments today. That, you know, a lot of this stuff I object to on the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
I would object to it a lot less on the state level.
And probably not at all on the county level.
Not at all on the county level. But, you know, I read this interesting thing last night, and I didn't know this. Apparently, in 2017, states can begin to opt out of Obamacare, and I didn't know that, if you have something legitimate to take its place. Vermont is doing its own health care plan, and they're planning on opting out in 2017. At the state level, it becomes workable. I'm a lot more comfortable with it at the state level. Not my first preference, but it's the federal government that scares the hell out of me.
Well, we learned in the military you handle everything at the lowest level possible. And who better knows what the health care needs of a community is than that particular county, city, state? Because the further you get away from that county, city, and state, the one-size-fits-all thing starts to kick in, and you end up with a behemoth that doesn't work for anybody.
This is why I say
you guys are misinformed, because the only reason why we have the federal database is because you have states who decided they weren't going to set up their own exchanges.
That's a lie from the pit of hell. Stop it.
They already had health care right now.
That's not true, Diva.
Not at all.
Lord. Oh, my God. Oh,
it was in the
before anybody opted out, Diva, they had this thing, the collection in there. So yep. Don't say that stupidity.
Part of the law.
He just said trusted at the state level than he would at the federal level. The only reason why we have the federal level database, the only reason why we have federal exchanges is because you have states who refuse to implement it in their states.
They didn't want it.
Oh, my gosh. You have Republican government saying we don't want to set up these exchanges in our states.
Take a breath, Diva. Take a breath. That's a lie. It's not true. That's not true, and you can't go around saying stuff that's not true. That database is there. The only thing that the states opted out at was the filling out the forms part. The database is the law, and it goes through every single doctor right into the federal government. It has nothing to do with the exchanges, which is an entirely different issue. No matter where you are, you're in this system, your stuff gets reported.
Yeah, I had to quiet her down a little bit. Go ahead.
And the issue is that they're not going to do that. That's not true. What she's saying is absolutely not true.
Yeah, we know that, but she doesn't know that.
You see what's happening? That's coming. I told you, it's Kool-Aid-itis.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I don't care what side of the spectrum, there's something stupid happens with. I guess everybody thinks that we're supposed to be up in arms because Kasich decided to expand Medicare in Ohio. Well, I understand why he did it, and for the short term, he needs to do it because two things. First of all, he's going to be forced into it anyway, one way or another, by the government. Number two, he's going to have to get elected next year, and we got all those ignorant people in the cities that don't vote ever except on presidential thing that they'll get them all wrapped up and say, you know what?
Voter suppression.
You can call get the dog on. Yeah.
The governor's, this is what the governor's words are. It's the right thing to do.
That's what he said.
And we don't, he said it's the right thing to do. He said we have people in Ohio who are hurting, who need assistance, and it is the Christian and the right thing to do.
And guess what?
You gotta do what's right.
And guess what, Trace?
What?
Here's the thing. He came in the state and got undid all of Strickland's craziness and got us back solvent and got our credit rating back up again.
Absolutely.
In fact, we should be the doggone capital of the United States. Okay.
So you tell me, since it's the right thing to do to expand Medicaid, why so many Republican governors are opting out of doing so when it's 100% paid for, at least for 5-10 years, by the federal government?
Because it's not five or ten years.
Go ahead, Mike.
It's not 5 or 10 years. It's a declining contribution from the government, and you lose 98% of it, I think, by year 5 or 7. And meanwhile, you've got it then stuck with your citizens who then are stuck, and then it's going to push it onto the states. And it's going to push all this expense onto the state. And you have some states in this country that are poor enough right now the carrot is there, but it's a cruel carrot because, who doesn't want people with health care? Nobody in their right mind would be against health care, but when they say, okay, we'll subsidize it, but for X amount of time to a limited percentage and then it trails off, then you're stuck with the burden. Then you're going to have those people in those states see their state taxes go up to continue this entitlement that was created that's no longer federally subsidized. It's cruel.
Okay, so how well is Texas doing right now?
Hey.
How well is Texas doing financially?
Texas is doing awesome. And so is
Montana
and South Dakota.
So why did Rick Perry opt out of expanding Medicaid in his state?
Because
his state is not a poor state?
Because they don't need it necessarily. He's happy with what they got, and the citizens there are happy. They keep voting him in as governor. You keep forgetting. You keep talking about, I like the Constitution, and we're a democracy. Well, guess what? All these states that have all these things with Republican governors, those people decided that's what was best for them. You need to respect that, Diva.
Texas has the highest Texas is one of the highest states that has the highest population of uninsured.
Yes,
especially
Texas
in
also
the,
deals with more illegal aliens. Texas
so
and Arizona.
What do you mean they don't need
California.
It?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
It
wait
also has
minute,
the
wait,
highest
wait, wait,
employment.
I'm messing up.
It's got one of the lowest unemployment numbers in the country, too, because it's a right-to-work state. And it's a right-to-starve if you don't work state, which is okay by me, too.
Hey.
applauding that.
Why can't you let the citizens
I'm
of the
glad
state
you guys are applauding that because people like this is who is representing you guys on the Hill.
Sheila,
and it's the people
for
Wembley. It's your policy.
Sheila, I got in trouble yesterday for people talking on top of each other. You got to go by the rules, and you've been here long enough.
Man, you know what, Tracy?
I call Mike, and I want you to finish your point. But let him get to his point. I call Rick and told Rick the same thing. We've got to be so that people that are listening can actually hear what everyone's saying because we have a lot of voices going on, and it can become very confusing if you don't if you're just listening in. So finish what you have to say, but let Mike finish his also.
I'm all done, Tracy. It's just that. We're not going to change anyone's opinion on this line. It's okay to have your own opinion because that's part of the Constitution and the democracy that I believe in. But, Diva, you don't have the right to make up facts. I'm sorry, hon. You just don't have the right to do that.
No, you don't have the right to make up facts. You think what you know is not what...
Diva, how many people...
Your opinion is based in your ideology. Your facts is based in your ideology.
And yours aren't. And
yours
aren't.
And I honestly see nothing wrong with that. But don't call out somebody else a liar because...
Diva.
Hold on, Mike.
Do you think...
Hold on, Mike.
Okay, go ahead.
Mike.
Go ahead. Get it out, Diva.
No, let him go. Go ahead, Mike.
No,
go ahead.
You finish, Diva. Go ahead. I can out-polite you.
After you. That cartoon always cracks me up. Go ahead, Diva. Go ahead, Sticks.
Well, it just amazes me that anybody can be arguing with a blind guy that's pulled himself up by his bootstraps about people going to work.
We won't go there. That's a cheap shot. If I pull that out, oh, man, I'd never hear the end of it. I'd be accused of beating up on sighted folks. I'd be a blind terrorist.
The thing is, because people don't know how things work, they don't know how this thing is affecting people. This is detrimental. Look at the people that are still asking for this thing to be stopped. The Democrats have come out today.
Mm-hmm.
A line of Democrat senators.
Manchin wants to hold it off for a year.
They want to hold it off a year. Now, who just said that they wanted it
held up for
a year?
Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz, Mike Lee.
He's a Democrat.
No, he's a Republican from that hated place, Texas.
Oh, so you're going to tell me now that because the Democrats wanted to go and be held off, that it's okay to hold it off, but... when the Republicans did it, those evil Republicans, they want to shut down the country and they want to hurt people. They're telling you this thing was poison in the first place. This was a poison pill. It is not ready. You can't put it in place or it's going to destroy people.
It'll never be ready. They're estimating 16 million people are going to have their health care coverage canceled.
And we have the first fruits of that now. So something
hundreds
like
hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds
yeah.
of thousands.
Yeah. New Jersey. How many hundred thousand in New Jersey?
300,000.
Florida reported 300,000 as of this week lost their health care because their insurance companies pulled out of the state of Florida.
But of course, we're making all of this up, gentlemen. You know that.
We're evil
Republicans that want to snatch candy out of and rattles out of the baby's hands.
I want to say one thing that kind of I found interesting last night on the canceling of insurance. I watch Fox News at night, and they have a liberal commentator on Fox News named Kirsten Powers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And Kirsten is about as smarmy a liberal as I've seen. But
sure.
You listen to what she has to say. I have a theory about liberals. Liberals always want to tell you what to do to infringes on their rights. Something does something to them, they're the first ones screaming and yelling.
Absolutely.
Kirsten Powers has been a major supporter of Obamacare verbally, to the nth degree. Guess whose insurance was canceled last week? Kirsten Powers. And she was on I don't want to say a Rod. It had to be on either O'Reilly or Hannity last night or Van Susteren. With her head down a thing, you know what? Maybe we need to take a look at this again. Maybe, this is just too much. I almost fell out of my chair, but I laughed.
I would have.
Because when it comes to them, They're all for it till somebody does something to them. And then, you know, they're all screaming that we would go take a look at this. And it just, you know, it warmed the cockles of my heart.
I like that.
You know, Jeff, and you know Mark and Legs and everybody, and Diva, you two in this conversation, and Tracy, what bothers me of this is the immorality of my generation. We screwed up our retirement. We were in the 60s, the boomers, you know, we were living for today was the slogan. We didn't fund IRAs. We didn't fund healthcare accounts and all that. And now we're the ones who will benefit the most by this train wreck, except for one little dirty detail, is the immorality of what we are doing. We are pushing this debt off onto our children, our grandchildren, and to children who aren't even born, who don't even know what America was 50 years ago. And who
we're
going
to kill
know.
Half of them. It
and
doesn't matter. They won't have to pay it.
Right. And if any adult on this line thinks that because we screwed up, we mismanaged our own personal health with drugs and obesity and everything else that we did to ourselves, and we're the big ones dipping into this bucket now for health care, if we think that it's okay, that that's okay, and we think it's okay to now we demand, we want to be taken care of by all the young folks who will never have a retirement, who will be saddled with all this debt. If you don't see the immorality in that, then you are blinder than me, anybody out there.
Yeah, I pulled up the stats, but I can't
believe out there.
What, Tracy? I'm sorry, I walked on you.
I was just saying to Mike, there's a lot of blind folks out here.
Yeah,
I just pulled up the numbers for health care cancellations.
Mm-hmm.
300,000 in Florida.
Yep.
80% of the state's entire state's individual coverage policies, it says. 160,000 in California. 800,000 in New Jersey.
Mm.
I you know, you're looking at this, and what bothers me in this, it makes me so angry. Back when this thing was being debated 3 or 4 years ago or whatever it was, they were passing all this stuff on Christmas Eve. I went and I pulled out, I downloaded a copy of the bill, and in 15 minutes, as I watched the president looking in the camera saying, if you like your health care policy, you can keep your health care policy, in 15 minutes I was able to go to the index of the bill, go to that portion of the bill that governs that, and you could read the first four lines of it. You didn't have to read 2,000 pages. You had to read four or five lines and realize that if you even changed a period in one of those policies, it was over.
Yeah.
That's where I got so adamant against it, because he stood there in front of the cameras and lied. He lied into the camera right through those frickin' teleprompters of his. He's a liar, and he opens up his mouth and the lies pour out. What gets me is the media didn't look for it.
Not only that, they didn't repeat it when they saw it.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't repeat it when they saw it. That's really it.
You know what, Jeff? They didn't
have
to. They knew it and didn't say anything about it.
Absolutely.
They knew
they're repeating this.
Jeff, any time that you can stand up as Speaker of the House on national television and have all the journalism and all the eyes on you and say, we can't tell you what's in the bill until we pass it and get a pass, you know something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
Come on now. No one says that out loud.
Yeah.
I would just like to say, context means everything. And secondly, I don't know what news media y'all were watching, but Nancy Pelosi didn't get a pass when she said that. That's why they ended up having to go back and read. That's why the vote was delayed, because people weren't buying that. That vote, when she said that, she wanted to pass that vote that day and the next day, but it got slowed down because people were waking up and saying, hold up, wait a minute, that don't make any sense, including the media. And in context means everything, because when President Obama said what he said, it was lies being perpetrated that the government was going to run your health care. They will now have the power to choose what insurance plans you wanted, what coverage you got.
And they just did.
And they do, Diva.
And they just did.
And he answered
question of saying, no, the government will not change your plan. The government will not have anything to do with your health insurance plan.
That's a lie from the pit.
It's a lie from, it's a bald-faced lie from the pit.
Because the reason these policies are being canceled is because they don't meet the new minimum requirements that are in the law.
You do understand what grandfather means, right? I'm pretty sure you guys understand
Diva,
grandfather.
Diva, but the way
not
to, listen
you're
to the
losing
lawyer.
Your
listen
plan
to the lawyer.
Together.
Listen to the
lawyer. Hello.
Hold on, local call. I mean, unlisted caller. You're going to be next.
The grandfather clause had to do specifically with the kinds of policies that had health savings accounts with them. The general policies that you go out, you know, they go out in the street and you buy, no, they're not. You change one word. They're grandfathered in, Diva, in the sense if they stayed identical to what you had, but the problem was they weren't allowed to be identical.
And not only that, I just heard this morning that say your monthly rate was going up, so you raised your deductible to bring your rate back down. That was considered a rewrite of the policy, so you were no longer grandfathered.
Yeah. So that anything. Okay, unlisted caller, you are in the air.
How you doing today? I sense that you guys are arguing quite a bit today. I personally don't agree with a lot of the policies. I don't really like our president anymore. And I think that the last real president was JFK. You know, I'm not really a huge fan of black people. You know, so I don't want him to be a president, but he did, and he lies to everybody. So maybe he should be impeached. And
here's the thing, Doug. You get ready to say something crazy. I hope not. But I'm starting not to like black people either.
Yeah. Well, you know.
And I am black people, okay?
It's like, you hear about people, you hear about him stealing, you know, but now he's stealing my rights, so.
Here's the thing, my friend.
He's trying to steal my bike, but he's stealing my rights, you know what I'm saying?
Well, it's not just him doing it. It's people that look like you helping him quite a bit, so. Don't just look at it as him. He's not the only one doing this. You have the entire hierarchy of the Democrat Party who are digging in their heels trying to support this and protect this guy so he can do this stuff to you.
I don't think there's a line between the parties anymore. I'm pretty sure.
There's a line between the parties. Oh yeah.
They all have the same agenda.
I don't think there's a line between the Republican Party elite and the Democrat Party elite. The Ted Cruz's and the Mike Lee's and those guys, there's a divide there.
Those are the real Republicans.
The Tea Party Republicans are the real ones. You know, it's all over the news. It always comes down to two people, and the rest don't even get a chance. To me, that's just wrong. And if you look at, you know, their tests and everything, they go for the same things, whether they call themselves a Democrat or not.
I agree.
This is not a democracy. This is a republic, a constitutional republic.
Right.
And our debt belongs to the Federal Reserve, which JFK was going to try to shut down, and of course he got capped in the noggin. So
that's what happened.
Reagan wanted to audit it, and they threatened to destroy the economy on him if he did it.
What's the white equivalent?
Exactly. And see, that's a lot of power right there. So we owe him.
Yeah. I was just where are you calling from, Doc? You calling from local here?
Hello?
Unlisted caller. You calling locally?
I think he hung up.
Hello?
No, he's still there.
Are you local here? No, I was just on the site and I saw your channel, but yeah, you know, in our debt, it belongs to the Federal Reserve. I mean, they issue a dollar with interest, which if they only make one paper dollar, how are you going to pay them the interest? we're in so much debt, part of it anyway. But
see that now here, now so, here, now here's here's. Hey, listen to me, caller. This is something that this is an object lesson for everybody under the sound of my voice. This man just said he doesn't care too much for black people. And he's talking to a black person that I politically agree with him. I don't care that he doesn't like me, because I like myself enough for me. I agree with what he just said about his rights being taken, about the government overlording, about the our politicians are not paying attention to us. And so now I don't care whether he likes me, but you're going to call me, somebody's going to call me an Uncle Tom or something, because I agree with this cat on his thing. Now, I'm sorry he doesn't like black people, because I'm really nice people to know. But
no,
and so is Tracy.
I mean,
Tracy,
I'll call you
Tracy.
Everyone equally, so
I'll call you Uncle
That's what
because
I was going to ask you, Jeff. What's the white
out
equivalent
of
being called an Uncle Tom? All the white people that support President Obama, what do we call them? What's the white equivalent of an Uncle Tom?
I don't think there is such a thing.
George Soros.
Yeah.
Uncle Charlie? I mean, you know, what's...
Well, no, George Soros, he's the guy that partnered with his father to go clean out the houses of his Jewish brethren for the Nazis.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we're gonna call anybody that's not Uncle Tom or Uncle Cracker. How about that?
That's a country group.
All right, guys. Well, I'm gonna get off here, but I enjoy listening.
I know it is.
Uncle Rick.
But my thing is how he's feeling about the policies coming from his bigotry and his racism, or is that just how he generally feels? That's what I would
that's
like to know.
That's how he generally feels. Because I feel the same.
Like
Diva, stop. Think for a second. Think. Why in the hell would I have the same thoughts as him if it came out of bigotry and prejudice? I like black people, okay? I am a black people. So why would I think that what the president is doing is destroying this nation? And you have to think about this. What in the world am I doing fighting what he is trying to do?
And Diva, you take a man who can articulate about the Federal Reserve. Diva, hang on a second.
Hold on, Diva. Let's stay there.
You take a man that can articulate the Federal Reserve and what the Federal Reserve is doing to the economy and articulate it that well. That has nothing to do with his prejudice or his feelings about black people. He understands what the system is doing to the American people.
Well, I'm not I didn't say anything about the Federal Reserve. What I'm saying is the policies that he disagreed with. I mean, his first statement was, and I don't like black people. So that leads me to believe that can I finish? You asked me a question, let me answer it. And you asked me a question, let me answer whether you agree it's true or not. Let me answer it.
I don't like to go on with something when somebody has put something down that's a lie. That's my problem.
Oh my God.
You can't start a premise that's a lie. That was not the first thing he said.
I don't care. You asked me a question. Give me the courtesy to answer
care.
If you agree or not. That's why I always over-talk you, because if I feel you
instead
lying, then I'm going to sit in on you. You
Diva,
said we can't do that.
Diva, just say what you want to say instead of arguing about arguing.
Gosh. Two people can agree to the same thing, but they may not agree in the same context. So he can have bigotry and hate in his heart and disagree with somebody's policies. He thinks that President Obama is stealing his rights because he's black, like he said, black people stealing his rights.
No, he explained clearly why he thought President Obama was stealing his rights. And
but
I think the same doggone thing. It's not
yeah,
any bigotry
just
or hate.
And he articulated
the
fact
that
I'm
not like black people either. So, yeah, I would have to question if you're Uncle Ruckus or not.
You know why I said that, Diva? You know why I said that, Diva? You know I said it facetiously.
I said that
because I am sick of people being stupid. I'm sick of people getting played by these people that promise them things, and then they can't possibly deliver, and it's destroying them, and they still vote for it.
So because
that's
somebody agrees with ideology, it's okay for them to be a bigot. It's okay for them to make bigot remarks.
I didn't say it's okay.
Radio.
I can't stop him from being a bigot.
Understand
that.
It's that constitution.
Stopping him, but you didn't even bother to correct him. You facetiously joked with him about it.
Didn't need to correct him. Didn't need to, Diva. It's the same constitution.
All right, yeah,
you
Mike,
love.
That's
he has the right to
white.
Free speech.
You'll never get it.
You know what, Diva?
I'd rather have a black man come up to me and say, I don't like white people. I'd say, great, I'm talking to an honest man. If he's going to say it to your face, you know he's going to say it behind your back.
But to some people, they would.
Hold on, who called somebody? Where did the bigot come in here? They were talking about health care.
We took the call, and it was a unlisted guy, and he got on and he said that he didn't like how the president was doing things, and he said that he didn't like his we were being taxed a certain way and our rights were being taken. He said, and I don't like black people very much.
Hold on, David. Wait a minute. Listen. I'd rather for a white man to say, Tracy, I don't like black people. I can appreciate that. Because you don't have to like black people. Let me finish. It's all, I'd rather for you to say that I don't like black people than for you to smile in my face, come kiss my kids, and act like you're doing legislation on my behalf.
Thank you.
Get to your back room and not like black people.
Y'all choose to convene a man out for his bigotry.
No, we don't.
Y'all did.
The problem that we have is we've got too many people smiling in our face and stabbing us in the back. Convene a man, I spoke earlier about his sustain against white people. We know, and he calls people white supremacists. This man just came out and says, personally, I just don't like black people. But you have to realize that there's a lot of people out there that don't like black people. And they're not in positions of power, but they are in positions of hiring you, working with you, and influence. And a lot of times, it's more prejudice and ignorance than it is hatred and bigotry.
And that would have been a nice segue to go into a conversation about race. But you guys just made it seem like it was...
I don't want to talk about race.
There was no point in him saying, I don't like black people. Okay, we don't need to know that because we weren't talking about race. We were talking about the government and their policies. So it lets me know there's something more to what he was saying about white people.
We talk about Barack Obama. People say the reason why we don't like his policies is because he's black. At least at least he was honest enough to say, I don't like Barack Obama and I don't like black either.
Okay, yep. Steve, you can call him back.
You knew what you were talking to right up front. Tracy, you used to have a 3-hour show. Now you got a 12-minute show, and the rest of the time is arguing about arguing. Diva, you don't have to keep winning everything. Just get your point out, sweetheart.
She never wins. It doesn't make a difference. Anyway, Steve, go ahead. Steve, go ahead.
I need to stick up for Diva because I feel she's getting beat up, boy.
Well,
I'm here to tell her that I voted for Obama. I don't think Obama's a bad guy. I think he's a good man. I think he's out to look out for us.
Yeah, I know you do, Steve. He's looking right out for you, and that's why black unemployment is highest it's ever been in history, and that's why all black people have lost more than anything. Guess what I think about his policies? Thank you. Now,
hey, Jeff, I like it when you're here because
Don't forget to wash your hands.
I'm washing my hands as we speak. No, I got to.
Don't forget to wash your hands.
That's what I think about the policies. I'm sorry.
See how
the
you
policies
just cut
are
off
killing.
Steve?
Yes,
you
I cut Steve off because he was talking foolishly.
It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does. It matters to me because I'm trying to bring sanity to the show that we do like nobody else does. Nobody else keeps people on the line for more than a couple seconds here or there. And, here it is. We do it differently.
We'll agree with you, right?
No.
Hey, Diva.
Seconds.
Diva, how long have you been on the phone right now? Shut up. Thank you. Now, you've been on here for 2 hours, so be quiet. It's not because I don't agree with him. He took it down to a kindergarten level, and I had to shut it off. So, no, I'm not going there. Okay?
Again,
so now.
Disagrees with you, get cut off.
Diva, you're talking? You're talking?
I have yet to hang up on you.
You're not in the studio.
Oh, she has powers.
Even when I'm there.
She has powers.
Tracy, you have not muted me? Oh, come on now. Y'all quit.
You got to mute you. You won't shut up.
Because you don't. No, you
let
Bonnie,
The only reason why you get muted is because you have the propensity to talk over people consistently.
That's BS. And I'm going to just say BS, one, because I'm a Christian and we're on radio. That's BS. And you know
callers it. Callers online that know who Diva is, do you agree with Tracy's statement now?
Yes, I agree with Diva said it was BS, a brilliant supposition on Tracy's part.
Go ahead, Alex, you got to weigh in. We're about to go home here in a minute, so we got to get it in.
Oh, I'm good. I'm just listening to the back and forth, guys. This is crazy.
Can't anybody, I'm finding myself in my old age quoting Rodney King. Can't we all just get together?
Get along.
It's Friday. What could be wrong? It's Friday. Washington goes to sleep. They can't screw us over for the next 48 hours.
Come on in, have something to say.
I'm looking for the toilet.
One of the engineers was saying, what the heck y'all got a toilet in that place for? Oh, man. But anyway, this is Afternoon with Tracy and Friends. We're about to wind this thing down and get on with our weekend. I hope everybody it's the weekend.
Don't forget to announce about the Caribbean dance that's going to be coming up.
Oh, yes. Here. Half Trend, Inc., presents a Caribbean night in Youngstown, the B&O Station, 530 Mahoning Avenue, Youngstown, Ohio. It's going to be Friday, November 8th, 2013, 9 p.m. to 2 a.m., music by New York City's DJ Swift Star. There's going to be music and food. Tickets are $25 in advance. Your food is included. For info, call Sandy at 330-793-3900. Flambeau's Caribbean Takeout at 7 North Edge Hill Avenue in Austintown, Ohio, next to Chipper's Bar. And so, when we're ready.
Did you get anything to eat there yesterday?
Not yet. Not yet.
Hold on. So you telling me Youngstown has Caribbean food now? They ain't had Caribbean food.
Yeah, man. We got Caribbean. You got to come back there, man, and taste it.
We got jerk chicken, and we got curry goat, and we've got fried pies, and we've got
fried pies.
Yeah, dear. It was smelling good.
The ocean's rising.
It was smelling good, you know.
We're the ethnic food capital of the world, right?
Yes,
here.
We are.
You name it, we got it.
Hey, y'all chase Diva straight up there.
Well, I wish they would have been out at the. Wish they go out to the camp food fair.
Hey, you know what? I'm hoping that next year they want to do Jazz in the Park. I hope I can bring them down to Jazz in the Park next year.
Yeah.
Hey, if we do the show out at the fair every day next year, will we get fed every day?
All I want is that corn.
We ate good.
Oh, man, we ate real good at the Canfield Fair.
Yeah, we ate good. We got to go back next year and just stay out there all day. We'll just broadcast from the Canfield Fair all day.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe they'll let us do one big, long show. Start 9 in the morning and go to 5.
Actually, we'll just do a marathon and tie a non-profit to it.
Tracy, with healthcare going up in price, with healthcare going up in cost, that's going to be after service you provide here, telling people where they can go eat for free.
You know what, Mike? I don't do entitlement counseling.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You got to be insane.
Gore was right.
You don't think so, Cat? But they actually have their territory and come back, so you don't do that. No, you don't feed. You don't feed the people. Don't feed the animals. Absolutely not.
See, that's a whole. That's a whole problem. There's a huge difference between feeding the animals and not muzzling the ox that treads out corn.
Oh man,
there's a big difference, y'all. So now, if I'm working for you, you gotta let me taste some of that corn that we had at the day. Man, that corn was so good.
That corn was delicious. This could be our new immigration policy, Tracy. Get everybody hooked on Mexican food. And say, hey, you like this? Mexico City, they got it all day long.
It's free. And it's all free.
I got one for you.
Go ahead.
No, I said I got one for you real quick. Yeah, go ahead. You got it.
I just want to tell everybody have a good weekend. Be safe.
Yeah. But we are going to. We're going to.
Where are you playing at?
I am playing at McMenemy's tonight, actually, 8 to 12. So come on down. Come on down. And tomorrow, I don't know. Of course you get to sing.
I want to sing.
When have I ever forbid you to sing, Tracy? Yes, you can sing solo.
So
I want
to sing solo. I want to sing a solo.
You can sing all by yourself. All by yourself, Tracy. We're not going to bother you. We're going to get on out of here. We're going to get on a train. We're going to do something, a plane.
Say what? I'm glad to see you came in, Mark. I want to tell Mark thanks for coming in.
Hey, give him hell down in Columbus, Tracy.
Absolutely.
I'm going to do my best. That's what I'm doing, and I just arrived.
Well, have fun.
Take care, Tracy.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Afternoon with Tracy and friends. We are gone. We getting out of here. See y'all. Have a great weekend, everybody.